want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Yes, yes. Welcome to Telephone Central.
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hello.
This is a great place to work.
This is the seat of the finest equipment in the world.
And it goes beyond the simple microphones that we're speaking to you now, or the lead hamster soon to die of a saccharin overdose at the power source for this radio station.
Right.
You know, I wish there was a Latin expert, a scholar, that could call in and tell us how to say in Latin, this is a funny place.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be on the WJFK crest. If we had like a family tree,
carved
this is
into
a
the
funny
building.
Place.
Here's the deal.
Hilarite. Thank you. I'm an expert.
There is a phone call. This is a relatively simple thing that they've asked.
Mm-hmm.
A phone call.
I think anybody that works in the corporate sector would understand that conference calls are occasionally a necessity.
Mm-hmm. However, here is what's involved in this conference call. Three people. Todd Hughes, the general manager, who is at another radio station.
Right.
There you go.
Me, Don,
mm-hmm.
and him, Mike.
Hi.
That's Mike. Really not much of a conference call. As a matter of fact, it's much like if I was on the phone with my kid at college and my wife picks up the extension
yeah,
and
it's
says,
like that.
Hi, Mom's here.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's how much of a conference call it is.
Now, with conference call, the easiest technology would be to have what is called, you might have heard of this, a speakerphone.
And for a long time in our office when we were up on the third floor before we moved down here to the second floor.
Yes.
And thanks again for indulging me on the whole first, second, third floor thing.
We agree. Of course.
We used to have the thing in our office upstairs. There were two telephones.
Mm-hmm.
One line, two phones. Meaning, if someone was calling, I could say to Mike, hey, pick up, you've got to talk to this guy. Or Mike would say, hey, right. I've got someone on the phone. Pick up and say hi.
Now that in and of itself is not modern technology.
No,
that's just like you would have in your home.
Extension. No, it's not.
It's just picking up the extension.
Right. So we have to have this call today.
Uh-huh.
The phone rings at 2:30, and I pick up the phone, and I go, hello, and Todd says, hi, Don, is Mike there? And I say, yeah, Mike's right here. I said, Mike, pick up. Mike is sitting 1 foot away from me with his own telephone.
With my new 1970s phone that has a lot of buttons on it. Well, none of them really do anything.
Mike is pushing. He's got like 12 buttons on this phone.
I suddenly asked Don what his extension is, and I determine they have now, even though we're in the same office, given me my own extension.
I believe.
Thank you, buddy.
And while on one hand, that certainly Mike merits
it. It's a compliment. Anyway.
After 20 years, he certainly merits his own telephone line.
Yeah.
However, there was no way for Mike to conference with me us to speak together. So I said, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's go to the nerve center.
Yes.
Let's go to one of the radio studios, one of the production rooms.
Right.
Where we can use the technology that we use to take phone calls on the air.
Right.
We go in there. That piece of equipment called a Telos.
Uh-huh. That is run through a late 1960s tape deck. It's perfectly good.
Anyway, that one's broken.
That Telos was not only broken, but we couldn't find out it was broken until I hooked every wire back up to the 1970 tape deck.
That had been unplugged for some reason.
Then Rob says, hold on, wait a minute. I got a speakerphone in my office. So we transfer Michael Hughes' call to Rob's office.
Brilliant.
Rob picks up the phone and says, Michael, are you there? Hold on, Don and Mike are both here. And then Rob says,
Rob instructs us that he's got a speakerphone, but he can't talk on it.
Yeah, he says to Michael Hughes, here's the only thing. I've got one of those phones where you can press down and hear somebody speak, but if you want Don and Mike to respond to you, they're not going to be able to.
So it's really not a speakerphone.
No, its only use is if you're dialing someone and you can let it ring without picking up the handset.
It's a listener phone.
Yeah. It's a half a phone. It's a telephone.
So anyway, you know, the lesson here is that there's always a shortcut to get to something. And I think the fault here lies not with the bad equipment and the fact that we don't have phones that can hook up.
Uh-huh.
The fault is with Todd Hughes. That really, Todd didn't need both Mike and I on the phone. It could have been either
the whole
Mike,
thing was unnecessary.
Either Mike or, as it turns out, myself.
Uh-huh.
Because here's what it involved. Do you remember that? whatever this
remember
piece
that
of business.
Time?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Do you promise not to do it again? Yes.
You remember the time when you
that
did that thing
happened,
with the
that thing?
Thing
with the thing, you know. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. You know, when the management changes at a station like it has here at the revolving door, the new guy comes in, and a guy like Todd, he's like an, I love calling him Todd because everyone else says he's Michael.
Mm-hmm.
He's like an animal in the wilderness. And what he's doing, you know what they do to stake out their territory.
Yeah. Right.
And now, you know, any chance he has to get, have a meeting or today, you know, to have this conference call.
And I don't think I'll ever use a speakerphone. I might, but here's the deal. I think we all ought to have them. I think that it's kind of a normal business phone. You know, you should, in an office, have a phone where you can
don't go crazy now,
bring
Tiger.
People in. And,
listen, don't go crazy.
Well,
Mike.
I just think it's inadequate, this whole place, spending the company's money
come
again.
On, I think, you know, listen, right now as it is, I'm happy. You push.
You're right, Steve Irwin.
Listen, here's what I'm happy about. Oh, Bud's wearing his crocodile hunter shirt today.
Oh, good.
What I'm happy about is now that when you press 9 to make long-distance calls, at least they've taken away that absurd code, because for a while they were so concerned that, God forbid, you might call somebody, like, out of the area.
Yeah, you might call somebody, you know, over one county over.
Grandma.
At one point, I'm trying to call somebody in Maryland, which is a local call from Washington, D.C., but you have to put a 1 in front of the number, because it's 1301, whatever the number was.
And everybody knows that 1 is the loneliest number that you'll ever know.
I get the thing saying, the call has been denied. What is your Infinity access code?
And then you look at the phone and you go, shut up!
Get it. So anyway, that's what's happening here today. Another great meeting with us and our brand new manager.
This is a funny place.
Our brand new manager who loves being a manager. Hello to Todd Hughes.
Excelente.
Now, having said that.
Hello. Well, hello there, Mr. Shannon.
This is Michael Scott Shannon.
Very good. I just identified you as Michael Scott Shannon.
I am Michael Scott Shannon, Mill.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills and banker, personally, to Granny. Granny.
And I know not this Todd Hughes you're speaking of. I know from my radio travels a fantastic grizzled veteran named Michael Hughes.
Ah, yes, Michael Hughes. We'd love to have his money in the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills.
I've got some groaners for Granny.
Well, fire away, Michael Scott.
Only 2 today,
oh,
Bill.
Oh, what a shame that is.
What author was constantly clearing his throat?
Which one?
Ernest Flemingway.
Oh, dear. Oh, Ms. Hathaway, that
Hello.
Was a tough one to handle.
Hello, I'm Scott Shannon, your morning zookeeper.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
Come on.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
Come on for Granny. It's a groaner for Granny.
A groaner for Granny.
What would you get if you crossed an internet service provider with Ron Jeremy?
What would you get?
Girth Link.
Hey, now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Come on.
This is Sam Hill.
Everybody, get into it.
Hello.
Hello.
Lord, you don't know to fill a book.
Okay, all right. Let's go.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Now the door opens, but of course we've been in here the entire time. Hi, Julia.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
How have you been?
I've been peachy.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. How have you been? And all the chips and sweets. Perhaps you enjoy their work on Accent Hollywood. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah.
Hi, thank you for listening, everybody.
Hello.
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 Yeah. new episode on this Wednesday.
Wednesday 09 27.
I'm almost gonna hit it. 04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Pretty good. We're being retarded. That's pretty good.
Oh, look at that.
That's for your shirt, Buzz.
It's Buzz Burbank. He's stalking the swamps.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Well, listen, let's get some stuff. Let's get retarded, right? Mm-hmm. Let's get some stuff going here. First off, Mike, no concession speech.
We may have a development because the Yankees are playing a doubleheader today, and the first game begins less than an hour from now.
All right, so
advised.
All right, the Tom Gavin, Mike, and to a lesser extent, me bet continues.
Yes,
because there is still a mathematical chance
it could be the October surprise.
That it could happen. Here is a great story about radio. It involves our producer, Beth Ann McBride.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful Beth Ann. Feeling the stress of you know, working with an incredible jerk like me
Don't leave me out of that.
Oh, no, I was going to say...
Thanks so much.
And of course, the extraordinarily lazy
mm-hmm.
Mike.
Yes.
You know, and then the angry Rob.
Mm-hmm. And nothing but trouble.
And of course, you know, right over there, Mr. Yeah. Sexual Pressure Buzz Burbank.
Get that for me, will you?
It's tough for her working in this environment with us.
I can understand.
But she's doing great. And, you know, she occasionally has a problem with the management. Now, who doesn't?
That's normal. Well, she's to be expected.
She's going through a situation with Todd, the new general manager, as I mentioned. He's wanting to let everybody know that he is... he's like Al Haig. You know, mm-hmm. Gentlemen, I'm in charge here now.
I'm in control here right now, gentlemen.
Good. So anyway, Beth Ann McBride, because we work very closely together, mm-hmm. she types up an email from her heart, writing to me about what a jerk face Todd Hughes is, Michael Hughes.
Yes.
Issues about equipment and stuff, and
sure.
She calls him some names. And anyway, she calls me up, and she's all flustered. And the reason is that this email that she wrote to me about what a jerk Michael Hughes is,
mm-hmm.
she sent, instead of sending to me, she sent it to Michael Hughes. She sent it to Todd Hughes.
That's like getting it out on the table.
I want to say, Beth Ann, if you would come in here for a second, please. You have pulled a boner of extraordinary proportions.
Oh, my.
Holy boner, bad man.
Mm-hmm.
She pulled one here. And now we'll get
really?
The... we'll get the reaction. Hold on. And here's her scene.
Good thing you didn't pay for one of those expensive ones that cost money.
So, without getting very specific,
right.
the note that you had sent to me in confidence about
right.
What a jerk he is,
right.
Did it contain inflammatory names?
I would have had to dump myself.
You had a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah.
And you were frustrated about these technical issues.
Well,
And
he had a good point. He had a good point.
Other issues as well? I mean, you don't have to discuss them now.
No.
But you were upset, to say the least.
Yeah. And sometimes we do things when we're upset.
Yeah.
That we're not really thinking.
Like we send emails to the person we're talking about when that is the last person you wanted to see that.
Now, really,
but this has only improved my relationship with him.
But now, isn't this something funny? I swear to God that you couldn't write if you were going to do a radio show. That she sends me a note saying,
wacky.
Do you believe what an a-hole this guy is? And do you believe, you know, and it continues and it goes on. Mm-hmm. Well, come on, Beth Ann, that's... You called him worse than that.
Oh, you used the D word?
Yeah.
It was so inappropriate. I'm sorry.
Oh, my.
Yet so honest.
Don't apologize.
When did you realize...
The sign of weakness.
When did you...
Swimming with Sharks, rent the movie, learn the movie.
When did I realize is when he pulled a risky business, Tom Cruise, and was right in front of my door, and he said, I think you may have sent an email to me
that
you meant to send to Don.
Yeah, that moment couldn't have been good.
Oh, my God.
Did he then discuss the issues that you brought up?
Yes, he did.
Good.
And did you feel you got anywhere?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, from that point on, there was nowhere but up with our relationship.
And what was your feeling when you realized you'd done that? I mean, God.
Well, first of all, I just said, you know, I'm kind of glad it happened. Because, quite honestly...
You are a...
I need to tell you some things, how I've been feeling.
Yeah.
And it really just, I had to lay everything on the table. He did the same thing. And a couple times that day, we
I hope he didn't call you foul names like you did to him.
Was there any laughter at all due to the circumstance?
I tried later to say, hey, Todd, what I'm going to do is every time I email somebody, I'm going to send you a copy.
Uh-huh.
He didn't laugh.
Right.
But by the afternoon, he was okay. And he actually came to, he said, are we okay? I said, we're great.
Does he laugh?
Super.
I don't know.
Yeah, he did.
I've not seen him laugh.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen
that.
Did you ever get the email?
No, I never got it.
I'd love to see the email.
It took me 24 hours to tell Don.
Really? I think you should frame it.
I thought it was hilarious.
I haven't even been able to go to my sent part of my email to reread it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you should. You're going to laugh.
Why don't you just go get it and print it out and bring me a copy? And I promise I'll be sensitive with what I promise. I'll be sensitive, but bring it in. Let's get the tone of this.
I think it would be very helpful.
Would you please, Beth Ann?
Please.
Come on, please. All right.
Excuse me.
Because then I won't talk about the other stuff.
He requires it as evidence.
I just love
to hear that.
You know what's great about the modern age?
Uh-huh.
Is in days of old, it would take 4 or 5, maybe even 6 days to burn a bridge like that. And she did it with the click of one mouse.
Incredible.
Welcome to the 90s.
I can't think of anything in an office that could go more wrong.
No. Nope.
Other than someone overhearing you talk about
but
it.
But that's so undoable.
Wow, because there's a permanence to the email, too. When it's the written word.
And here's what I'm thinking, and I don't know because I've not read it. I've only heard what Beth Ann has told me she was right about, that she was mad. I can only think that she was just, you know how you get, especially when you're mad with an email, it's much more concise than a phone call.
Much more well thought out.
The words go in, and then by the time it's done, maybe it was just like out of her mail book,
address book.
Yeah.
It's not like you come back and say you were speaking out of turn, you were writing thoughtfully out of turn.
She was probably just so wound up like a top, she just clicked on the wrong, send to.
Yeah.
But geez.
You know what the fun part is that she didn't realize until the next day when he appeared at her doorway.
Wow. And then she was afraid to tell me about it for a day. I said, why are you afraid to tell me? Mm. I think that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. That's good. That'll strengthen your relationship.
Wow.
Let's see. Oh, here she comes.
You know, we also did
something else.
Last year, a similar thing was done by Tim McWilliams when he sent a pointed email but hit reply all.
Oh, so everyone got it.
So instead of sending it to someone behind their back, he sent it to the entire staff.
Oh, that's fun.
Okay, here we go. Let's see. So this
was like that Citibank commercial, but I didn't say thank you.
That's right. That's the new thing. Thank you.
Uh-huh. From...
Listen, I have a good relationship with him now. Please don't destroy it.
No, come on. I got to read the last part.
Water under the bridge.
It's fine, Beth Ann.
Okay.
From McBride, BA. Tuesday, September 28th, 7:17 a.m. To Michael Hughes. Now, see, it should have said to me.
That's where I got it wrong.
Then it starts, Don, comma. I have many masters. Michael just came into my office. There's a problem with one of the computers that was turned so much the cable broke, and it's $1,000 repair. Michael alleges that this happened yesterday during our show. Also, he said there would be a time, blah, blah, blah. He goes on and on about technical stuff that I won't read here. And then he got irritated at me because I kept saying, and then she writes, he is an ass. Alan may have counted pennies, but he wasn't a...
Oh.
Vice President.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Signed, that's
let me see it, because I want to see the good stuff.
Take a look at it.
Well, it seems like a perfectly natural reaction. Yeah. I'm sure he understands.
The only stuff that I didn't read is the technical stuff.
Sure.
The stuff, but everything else.
See, what's great about this happening is it cuts through months of seething hatred. Now they just skip that step, and they can go from there.
Ann, did you remember to copy Alan on that?
No.
It's pretty great. Isn't it, Mike?
Oh. Oh, B.A.
Yeah.
B.A., you know, it can't get any worse than this.
He is an ass. Alan may have pinched pennies.
Please.
But he wasn't a Richard Cheney.
Oh,
you know what, Beth Ann? This just endears you to me even more.
And
everybody else.
Yep.
Come on.
Yep.
Come on.
So
it's
human, so real.
It's the reality of the situation.
Stuff people do.
See, and that, I like... that's what, off air, I would not have said this if it hadn't got on there. Mm-hmm. That's what I like about Beth Ann, that she and I can communicate like that with what's going on here.
Right.
But, honey, you got to be careful with your address book. You got to be careful.
Yeah. I think she knows that.
I support you. And
maybe subconsciously she wanted to send it to Michael.
Let me just say this. This is Don Geronimo. I supported that email. I didn't send it, but I support it.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so that's...
What a funny place.
That's Beth Ann. And, Todd is not here. We know Todd is not here because we had the fiasco with the conference call.
Hilarite deum.
But I believe tomorrow Todd will be here, and we'll have to... Ask him.
Oh, please.
Oh, I think we have to do that. I think we actually have to get this out on the table.
His response with B.A. Now, Mike, a couple of days ago on the show,
yes.
We had a fake cop calling in when we were playing a game.
Yeah, we had a fake guy that was saying that, you know, he had the camera in his car, and I immediately knew he was lying.
Anyway, we did have somebody from the Baltimore City Police Department call, or Baltimore Police Department. We got a very nice note today from Detective T.C. McGowan, who works the Northeast District Detective Unit in Baltimore. Mm. Dear Don, Mike, Buzz, and Rob, my name is T.C. I'm a detective with the Baltimore City Police. I'm the caller who phoned and assisted you in busting the listener who identified himself as James.
Good.
And claimed to be a Baltimore City police officer. Then he threw in, you know, we love the paraphernalia, the Baltimore Police Pat.
Oh, that is nice.
So cool.
We do like that. And then he writes a lot of very nice stuff about our show and about Ocean City. Mm. And let's see. Oh, and the bottom line here is in this time of terrorism and fear, it helps to have a show like yours that doesn't take itself or listeners too seriously.
Cool.
So that's nice.
Hey,
thank you very much.
From a guy that's out there on the front lines.
That's
wonderful.
We appreciate that. And thank you for the patches. Now, I'm going to need the Mayberry RFD music for a second, Rob, to tell you this letter, to read you this one. This is a letter that I received at my house today before I left to come to work.
Really?
Now, this past weekend, I told you I went down to Atlanta for my birthday. My kid bought me tickets for us to go see Al Green. Remember, I acted like a fool at the concert.
Right.
Al Green and Stephanie Mills and Isaac Hayes. Anyway, one night I stayed in a hotel near his college in South Carolina at a Holiday Inn Express and checked in the afternoon. The guy said, you know, this is the room. I said, great. Got a double bed because my kid was going to crash in the room after the concert and then take me to the airport so I could beat ass home. We got back from the concert at like 1:15 in the morning, and as it turned, there was a gigantic mirror that had been hung on the wall that had fallen off while we were gone. So we told the guy at the front desk, we said, hey, it's 1:15 in the morning, but you should know, the giant mirror fell off the wall. It's no big deal. Anyway, I get home today. I'm at home getting ready to leave for work, and there's a letter. Look at the handwriting on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
hand addressed,
like retard handwriting from this this very
Holiday Inn envelope.
Holiday Inn, September 26th, Special 2, Michael Source.
Michael Source.
You know that's my real name. Also known as
Michael Source.
So this is not a form letter. This dude writes Special to Michael Source. Great for us to have such guests last night, Mr. Source, as you and your son. Plus, I really enjoyed our visit at the front desk this morning, sir. So this would be the perfect time to tell you thank you for choosing my hotel. And thank you for the compliments this morning on room 100. We're not mad at you for ripping the mirror off the wall either. Just kidding, of course. We're very grateful we reported the errant mirror, and the engineer is down there right now pursuing repairs. Not only did you give us the tip, you were very kind about the issue. Hope you had an easy trip back to Virginia, and we hope to have the privilege of accommodating you again one day.
Yeah! Well, he's gay for you.
Why don't you call and get this coot on the telephone?
Now, why are you calling him a coot? That's a very nice letter.
Like, he is a lovable coot.
But, I mean, I like that kind of personal touch.
It's so
it is nice.
It's so Mayberry.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if more people ran their businesses like that?
True.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, really.
He did go
on. I got a letter. I got a letter from, I had a cigar in my hotel room.
Yeah.
And the housekeeping staff reported that, yes, of course, I wasn't in a smoking room and sent me a little letter. I don't know if you've ever gotten one of these. My letter was, you've incurred a $100 cleaning charge for your room for that
negative
one cigar.
That's why I always demand the smoking room.
I mean, I'm at fault, so I can't point fingers, but that was the little greeting that I got from Portland, Maine.
That's nice.
Hold on, Robbie's on the phone with him.
He's not in, but we can leave him a message.
Okay, leave him a message. Would you leave him a message as my secretary?
Yes.
Thanking him.
Please say your name is, Dolores.
Rob Stein.
I like Dolores, though.
Dolores.
Just be Dolores. So you're calling from Mr. Source, and I'm calling
Mr. Source's office.
I'm calling to say thanks for the letter.
Okay.
And leave the number, the business number, and maybe the guy will call back. Right. I'd like to have him on the show.
That'd be great. Okay.
This is one of these guys. I mean, and it's
and that was, what time in the morning was it?
This is, when we got back from the concert, it was 1:15 a.m.
So this is the guy, this is the night manager.
The all-night guy, and then we left.
I mean, how great is that? The night guy does that.
We left the next morning before 8 o'clock.
He has a lot of time, probably.
And when he writes, I'll
give him some credit, Buzz.
I really enjoyed our visit at the front desk this morning. This is what the visit involved. How you doing? This is me. Good morning, sir. How are you?
The message is this. My name is Dolores. D small e capital L O R I S. Spiewak. S P E W A K. I am an executive assistant and personal secretary to Mike Source. S O R C E.
Michael Source.
Had the good fortune of staying at your hotel over this past weekend, and we received a complimentary missive from your night manager. I believe his name was Dan Davis. And we're very excited, pleased at the personal touch, delighted that we were thanked. Mr. Source hosts something of a popular radio program, and we'd like to have Mr. Davis on as a guest to discuss their meetings and their discussions they had over the length of Mr. Source's stay.
And tell him I'd like to give him 30 pounds of cheese.
And we also have a standard giveaway that we always give to customer service. When it exceeds it, we like to reward it with 30 pounds of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So, in order for him to claim his cheese, he's going to need to call 703.
Isn't this just like Rob with the lawyers yesterday?
Yeah.
You know, it's real simple. Just tell the dude I want to give him 30 pounds of friggin' cheese.
Take him out of Tichka Fall.
Okay, for the cheese, and we appreciate it.
Hey, ask him if we should go on the air with us for a second.
Would you have a moment to come on the radio with Mr. Source? Yes.
Funny. Like how I use my real name.
Okay, hang on, and the next time you hear voices, you'll be on the air.
All right, thank you, Robbie.
Wonderful.
All right, let's talk to this lady. Hi, ma'am.
Hello.
This is Michael Source.
Hello, Mike.
And I'm Mike O'Mara, his radio partner.
Hello, Mike.
And here's my newsman, our newsman, Mike Elston.
Hi, nice lady.
Hello.
Hi there. You know this guy, Dan, at the front desk?
Yes,
Boy, did he send me a nice letter.
He did.
I could imagine he did.
That's the personal touch that doesn't seem to exist in America
anymore. I'd like to give him 30 pounds of cheese if you could pass that on. I'd like to put him on the radio show. And I'd also like to mention, I think room 100 perhaps is the best room available in your fine Holiday Inn.
Room 100.
Room number 100.
That's the one.
It's all the way down by the swimming pool.
Yes, I know where it is.
Yes, it's good.
Is this gentleman who sent the letter your night manager?
No, he's not. He works days.
He just happened to be working that night. Hello?
That night?
Yeah, well, he was there at 1:15 a.m. He was there at, let me put it this way. He was there at 3 p.m. on Saturday, 1:15 a.m. on Sunday morning, and again at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Okay, Dan, he's a good man. He does things like that.
Yeah. Sure is.
In fact, if you would pass along...
He's one of our sales representatives.
I may be interested in purchasing your hotel.
Wow.
Yes, that's how taken I am with this letter.
General manager.
I'm a very successful businessman.
And the reason you are interested in purchasing that hotel is because of the work of this guy.
The letter,
service.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to make Dan Davis the king of this hotel.
Wow.
I want to buy this hotel and change it from Holiday Inn to the Dan Davis Experience.
Ma'am, yeah, people just don't do nice things like that anymore, no?
Then they've never stayed at our hotel. They're all as nice as Dan is. Dan is extremely nice.
Wonderful. You're all nice?
We treasure all our guests.
Oh, you treasure all your... Give her a round of applause.
Even the dirty ones?
Even the dirty ones.
Right. Listen, thank you for your
time.
We
have workers that come in, you know. We love them.
There you go, the dirty workers.
We love them.
Please tell Dan that I called and that I'd like to talk to him on our show and that I really would like to send him 30 pounds of cheese.
I will be sure to tell him.
And that 30 pounds of cheese is an A-list prize.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Good cheese. Listen.
Thank ye, Holiday Inn.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have a good day.
You do the same.
Bye-bye. Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye. Nice talking to you all.
That's wonderful. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
They're all nice.
You are nice. Are you still there, lady?
Yes.
Oh, you can hang up now.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a nice day.
Mm-hmm. I know you and I were both fishing for a yee,
yeah,
just for her to throw one back our way.
Ye are so kind to talk to us. How long have ye owned the hotel? She got very excited when you floated the idea of buying the hotel, which is something after Mark Rippon did it, you've always wanted to do it. You've always wanted to own, not a hotel, you've always wanted to own your own motel.
It's I. Holiday Inn.
And a Holiday Inn would be the best thing to own.
Mike, today is also an exciting day for us.
Really?
I believe today is the day that the show goes to 4 hours in Houston.
Live.
Oh. I believe so.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to need from Beth Ann McBride, if you don't mind, the phone number. Because I don't have it here on this thing.
Well, she's not too busy cussing out management.
We can call the station and actually find out if they are carrying the show. I would ask for someone from Houston to call in now, but I imagine, except for the lady at the front desk, there is nobody in Houston listening to the show right now.
Well, we can only find out. If we're on live and somebody's listening, they would call us.
Actually, I was able to find out earlier. Dan Davis took the day off from the Holiday Inn to drive to Houston.
Isn't that wonderful?
Just to listen.
Just to hear the first day of all 4 hours.
I wanted to hear it.
Because the show has been running like for a month or something in Houston, but they pick it up 2 hours in because they had some contract with some business radio show or something.
And isn't that the best way to understand the show?
Here comes Beth Ann McBride with a note.
Thank you, Beth Ann.
It says, you are an ass.
There is no need to write that about me.
She puts it on all her notes. That was way harsh.
That's
a term of endearment. Are we calling Houston?
Yeah. That was wicked mean.
Find out if Houston has a problem.
Okay.
Get it?
Hold on. I'll tell them they're on the air, Rob.
Houston, we have a problem.
If there's a problem, we'll dump out of it.
Like the Salute Houston, home of Halliburton. A great American company.
Infinity Radio.
Hey, hi, Infinity Radio. This is Don and Mike. We're on the air right now on one of your stations. Can you tell us if our show is airing right now on KIKK?
I'll have to ring the program director.
That would be great. Thank you, baby.
This is Infinity.
I got to tell everybody they're on the air. No problem. Now, this program director should be just sitting there. Right now, he should be just laughing hysterically.
Right. Saying, oh, that's my phone. Laughing at this quality comedy.
That's what I'm saying. How can he not be jumping to the phone? He should be sitting there right now counting the greenbacks.
Better than that, he should be dropping us a line.
How do I get back?
I'll answer you now.
How do I get back to the operator?
Hurry, get up and kill.
Hold on.
Was that us? Was that us?
Sounded like us.
Sounded like
us.
Did you say the word kill, though? I don't think we said kill.
A different hour, right? Are they delaying us? Or?
Maybe I'll just ask her to put us on hold.
I don't know if that was us.
Infinity Radio.
Hi, baby. It's us again on the air. Will you put us on hold for just a second? Because, if this is one of those clusters, Infinity owns like eight stations.
Just a moment.
Thank you.
5.7.
He's friendly.
The wing.
I love it!
You just don't know.
I've been wanting a gas station in Houston for forever. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited.
This is the worst thing I could have said was put us on hold.
Now we're lost.
You just don't know.
We're in hold prison.
Obviously, that wasn't. Or maybe it's a sample of each of the stations.
Checking the phone lines. Lots of calls not coming in from Houston.
I know what the deal is. I know that Infinity has a policy at many stations where they don't play live programming
right
down the telephone line.
They're afraid.
They're afraid that some advertiser's going to call in
right
and actually hear what shows are being broadcast.
For that, you're going to need a radio.
Someone will be with you shortly.
See, this is just a tape.
15-10-5, rock and roll, touchdown, Houston!
Radio 610, Houston's only all.
Is that our station?
Is that us, 610?
I don't know.
I don't think that's
have to that's be willing to find a teammate. Yeah. If they lose to a 6-5 team,
I can't wait all day for
we've
this.
We've got Houston's best local sports talk on Sports Radio 610.
Checking the phone lines, still no calls from Houston.
Oh, go ahead and pound sand. I think we're on now in Houston.
The skies at night are big and bright.
Mike, we're very close.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
We're close to that other station that we just spent over a minute promoting. We're at 660.
Oh, 660.
Where it was?
650?
650.
650 is correct.
They're the big 61.
Lots of people listening in Houston.
None of them calling.
Not right now.
Of course, I'm really not sure if they went to all 4 hours today.
We don't know.
That's the beauty of this show. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
I don't even know where area code 304 is. Is that Houston?
Actually, no. I'm in D.C. right now. It's a cell phone.
Oh, all right. Well, what can we do for you? Why are you calling?
I was just wondering if Texas is in a different time zone.
If what?
If Texas is in a different time
yes,
zone.
Yes, they are. Oh, yeah. Yes, they are. So they run the show from 2 to 6.
Okay, so they even though it's a... rather than run it from 3... They do
right,
those.
They run it right, live. Right. Just like the stations in California run it from noon to
three. If they ran it from 3 their time, it would actually be on at 10 a.m. here.
Ah, okay.
Yesterday's broadcast.
Actually, isn't Houston the one city with a 40-minute time difference?
I believe so.
Here is
depends on what cab you're in.
The inside line ringing. Hello?
Hey.
Hi, B.A.
I just talked to Bill Van Rijstrom.
Yes?
And he's in between meetings, and if you could call back in 20 minutes. But you're not on today, you're on tomorrow.
Well, then why did we just...
Well, look at all what we just went through.
Well, screw that.
Do you want me to email him?
Screw them. No, Rob, I'm not going to play your dumb
Houston.
No.
Houston. I love the Forget Texas it. Songs, though.
Forget it. I thought today was the day, right?
Forget it.
Am I not incorrect? Today is, in fact, the 29th?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thursday is usually the day they want to have the big splash.
Yeah, I know, but, well, anyway. All right, thanks, Beth Ann.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah. You didn't let her finish. She was going to say that program director was a real ass.
And something else.
She offered to write him an email.
Oh, I know what we should do right now. We don't ever do this at this time of the show.
Oh wow.
Yeah, very, very early in the show. Let's take some of your calls, some of your live on-screen calls. Everywhere except Houston.
John Norman, do you have something to contribute?
Johnny, just call my dad who lives in Houston. You're not on live.
We're not on live, eh? I just found out, John, we're going to be on tomorrow.
877-365-3636. That's the number from anywhere in America, from Toronto, Canada, from wherever in Mexico. 800-636-1067.
No goblins.
And Washington, D.C. 202-432-1067. These calls are live and on screen. They're rotating random phone scan. We will start with your live calls right after this.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
And Joe is in Connecticut. Welcome to the program, Joe.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Good to hear from you.
I want to thank you for the program, and I would like to offer my prayers for that first person that called, and I do feel bad for him in his own loneliness.
Yeah, let's do...
The need to call a radio show to attract attention to himself.
Yeah, let's do pray that God will just do a significant work in his heart and take even what, you know...
Absolutely.
You know, what's happened and use it for good in his life.
And unfortunately, that radio show that he mentioned, the Don and Mike show, that is the epitome of debauchery and all that is horrible in this earth.
Yeah, I'd have to say that I'm not familiar with that show, and I'm kind of glad I'm not. You know, sometimes you want to be innocent.
Right, it's
with
just
respect.
Crude, juvenile behavior, filthy language, and, you know, a lot of ass play.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I just want to say that I've had loneliness in my own life. I recently had a disappearance in my family member who was suffering from a parvulitis, just walked off into the night and hasn't been seen since.
Hmm.
And I would like to thank my own pastor, Father Donald Geronimo, and Sister Lisa Herndon,
mm-hmm.
From the Crackpot Nunnery of Herndon, Virginia. And
it's sorry that we have someone else that decided to wanted to do the same kind of thing. And since tonight we have some folks who maybe are allowing Satan to use them, I'd like to encourage you, if you would, to pray for Joe and for Frank. Let's just pray for these folks and ask God to help them deal with the issues in their own lives.
Show. Two hot and hairy bear studs. John and Mike.
Hi. Your calls are straight ahead on the phone scan. Victor Pros with Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. Friday, talking football with Rich. Tower Records, Tower.com. Nobody has a bigger selection of the music and the movies you love than Tower. Pleased to be watching Rich Eisen's show, NFL Total Access. That's tonight at 7.
Good.
On the NFL Network. Now your phone calls.
Here we go, man.
All right, we got all kinds of music going. one. This is the phone scam music. At 877-365-3636. Right into your live on-screen calls. Here we go. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi, Don. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hi. Thank you.
All right. So I called a lot earlier because I'm actually the Latin scholar you were looking for.
You are a Latin scholar. That was right at the beginning of the show. Somebody was calling out for a Latin scholar.
Yes, that would be me.
All right, how do you say in Latin, this place, this is a funny place?
It's a funny place.
You would say, hic est ridiculous locus.
You're going to have to do that phonetically for us.
We're very slow.
No, she's play acting.
Hic.
H-I-C, right? Hic.
Est.
Est.
E-S-T.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I thought you said kick ass.
Hic est ridiculous locus.
Rucus?
Rob seems to think that sounds right.
Ridiculous is Latin?
What's the last word?
To be all of our language comes from Latin.
Well, it all comes, the roots come from that, but the roots.
And then locus would be location.
Because there's other words for funny, but they're harder to say over.
Ridiculous is,
what are some other words for funny?
Yo-carus, I think.
Yo, Carlos!
Carlos.
What's up, my brother?
Yo, Carlos.
It's like J-O something, something.
Et tu, Brute?
J-O used to mean something.
Always funny.
Do you know any other Latin?
Oh, yeah, I know a lot.
Caveat emptor, carpe diem.
That's right.
Right.
Eat one, Brutus.
Tempus fugit. Yep, all those.
Okay. Thank you, honey. Bye-bye. Thank you for the call.
Hick ass ridiculous locust.
Hello. Hick ass ridiculous locust. Don and Mike Show.
Got the locust.
Reminds me of Kick Ass Video.
Sure.
Is that the name of the place?
Yeah.
All natural.
All natural, all nude. No condoms.
No condoms.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
What round? Total viewing satisfaction.
Hello. You are on the air.
Radio Gods.
Hi there. Welcome to the show.
I was just hearing if Mike had heard about the broken curse of the Bambino this year.
Why? Now, you scare me. Calls like this make me nervous.
Curse is broken?
The first story was the person now living in Babe Ruth's old house was got his front teeth knocked out by a home run in Fenway Park. So that was the first one. And then the second one was a hot dog vendor had found a penny. The last year that
I want to thank Terry Francona. Is it Terry Francona? Is
that Terry Francona calling
us? Terry Francona, the manager of the Boston Red Sox, calling us this afternoon.
A hot dog vendor had found a penny.
Sir, what was that?
Yeah, forget it. No, you're boy.
They'll never know.
My
about the
God,
penny,
we've got movie actors, writers, the literati. You know, brilliant people rooting for this team, and we get you.
No, you got the manager of the Red Sox, Terry Francona.
Oh, no, I'm definitely not rooting for the team.
Not too, but well, okay. Well, that gives me great comfort.
That's right. A hot dog vendor named Alan found a penny.
found a penny.
Terry Francona, who is the manager, if I may, since I watch this team every night, the manager of the Boston Red Sox has a bit of an oral fixation and chews. I guess it's a hybrid of gum and chewing tobacco that he wedges into a large Tootsie Roll-shaped wad that he thrusts in and out of his mouth.
Yeah, I see fish.
Maybe and it's not pleasant to watch.
Maybe he chews cigars like your buddy Modell.
Yeah, I don't think this is a cigar.
Really?
No, Mike hit me to this, and I was watching him during a game, and you're right.
It's horrible.
It's a combination pink and brown.
Yeah, and it's like this big wad, and he sticks it out of his mouth, and then he sucks it back in. And then, like, every fourth inning or so, he'll take a big bottle of water, and he'll wash his mouth out. And it is
good.
It doesn't smell like a cigar.
It stinks. It
hello.
Sucks.
Don and Mike. Hello there.
Don and Mike.
Hi, you're on the air.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Hi there.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Paint your whatnot.
Oh, come on. Get out of here.
Paint my whatnot.
Hello, Don and Mike.
That sounded
show.
Dirty, but it wasn't.
Hello. It's just a way around the whatnot rule.
Sure.
Funny way around the rule.
I'll be doing that this weekend. Painting my whatnot.
Radio Buddies.
Hi there, you're on the air.
I wish to be asking, will your website be restricted the same way your radio show is due to web content and language?
What do you mean? Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean,
even though it's your private enterprise.
We can't swear on our website?
No, and I mean, really, what do you want? Like pictures of topless chicks?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Just a little more yeah, flowery.
You're the kind of guy that
flowery language.
You're the guy they trace, you know, when they're looking for it, you know.
Man, like, listen, Joe Nude. Right? Are you going to get aroused if you go to donandmikewebsite.com and it says in print like the F word?
No, I don't expect to. Sorry.
No, I mean, you're going to get what you get on the radio show.
It's just a regular website.
Why do you ask?
Okay, good.
We're not going to be peddling any smut, mister.
Okay.
Whatever.
I will look for my smut elsewhere.
T-shirts and hats, you bet.
You certainly have plenty of opportunities.
No thongs.
Beach towels.
Hey, get out of here, please.
Isn't he creepy?
Goodbye, you internet.
He had that kind of, will they have anything that's a little more flowery?
Yeah, just click on the glory hole.
Yeah, but
just click on that icon.
Don and Mike's glory hole.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Yeah, bone scan. Can you feel that bone scan? Can you? Yeah.
And he's gone. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
This is the phone scan, Don and Mike show.
Hey, that Red Sox manager, that tobacco and the gum?
Yeah, Terry Francona.
Yeah, that's called a spider web.
Is that like a baseball terminology for what they put in their mouth?
Or is it a great song by Gwen Stefani?
Spider webs.
Mm-hmm. Spider, I guess it's spider webs. Or is it spider web?
I think it's singular.
Singular?
Yeah. And it's a combination of, bubble gum and chewing tobacco?
Yeah, and it's the chewing tobacco, obviously, that's the leaf, not the granular stuff.
It's like Red Man or something like that, right?
Yeah, so when you bite in, you get the juice of the tobacco, but you can keep it in your mouth without having the tobacco
Hey, kiss me.
You know what you are is a walking commercial for whatever this product is. I feel like puking after hearing about it.
It's gross.
And I saw it on TV after Mike hit me to it.
It's just this huge wad. A lot of players do it. I mean, they've talked about a lot of players are really addicted to this stuff, too, mm-hmm. and they try to kick it.
You know, Johnny Wad is really into that, isn't he? He's into the wad.
Johnny Wad.
Yeah, I love Don Mike's show. Johnny Watt, he used to play, I think he was a catcher for the Red Sox.
Yeah, yeah,
he wasn't a pitcher, he was a catcher.
Yeah, his other name was Speedy Holmes.
Hello, this is the Don and Mike show, and you are on the air. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Right.
Hey, how y'all doing? Hello?
Why do you have to ask?
Sometimes we're simply not in the mood to answer that.
I was calling to say, love your show. First time caller, long time listener. Been listening to you guys for a long time. And just keep up the great work.
All right, thanks. We appreciate it. Listen, pal.
Yeah.
Hey, pal.
Yeah.
You're wonderful. Don't ever call us again, though. Really, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike.
That's good. Sometimes we don't know why we're annoyed.
Hello, phone scan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm getting pissed at people asking us how we are.
Bring us something.
I don't really care.
I think. You don't care? Oh, how you like that? Eat that dial tone, pal.
I don't really care.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Michael Q. How are you, boys?
Michael Q. Continue on, sir, on the best part of the show.
Best part of the show. Yeah, here we go.
Arguably.
Listen, now that we know that BA's so dirty based on her vulgar language,
right?
Yeah. We expect to see some nice lingerie pictures of her on the new Don and Mike website.
Stop that, please. You're killing me with that. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, does Mike still use Apple Stop Plus?
Apple Stop Plus? Isn't that a hairy? And you can speak to me directly, sir. I'm right here.
Oh, isn't that the thing that Letterman used to have, the ad that he would run on the show
Something
all the time?
Something like that, yeah. Isn't it a hair removal thing?
Yeah, where it had like a guy with a super hairy back.
No, I'm more concerned with hair coloring right now since my beard is turning whiter by the day.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Radio God.
Hello. Yes, you're on the air.
How you doing? What's going on?
Let's converse.
What's going on, sir?
How you doing?
How are you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey, hold on. I got to turn down my radio. What can I do for you?
Go Red Sox, Mike, cowboy up. What do you think?
I don't believe you're sincere. Anybody that uses cowboy up, that worries me a little bit.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Well, I sure do see a lot of those signs at Fenway Park.
Cowboy up.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
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 Hello, you are on the air.
Did I win? Where's my prize?
What do you mean, where's your prize?
Where is it?
Your prize is somewhere in my nasal cavity.
I've been waiting 20 minutes.
A lot of people wait 20 minutes for what's in his nasal cavity.
You got to come down and pick it up.
Pick it out. Come on, come down and pick out your prize.
Pick out your prize from my nasal showroom.
Hey, look, I like this one.
Get yourself a nice piece of furniture.
Right, and they're better at Christmas time.
Hey, hello. The colors, the red and green. Hello, Don and Mike.
Shut up, listen, learn.
Oh, you know what?
You have no brain.
Shout out to you. That is the movie I recommended Beth Ann McBride watch, Swimming with Sharks.
Uh-huh. Terrifying movie.
Kevin Spacey, one of his best performances ever. That's an incredible movie. You normally
is
only...
that one? That, you know, I saw a bit of that.
You
last
normally
week.
Only see that like on the independent film channel.
Is that one of those timeline things where they kind of skip ahead and do
you
that?
You
got to
watch it from the beginning.
It starts out with the guy going crazy and breaking into Kevin Spacey's house.
Yes,
and then they show the history of what he's been through.
Yes, then it goes back to day number one on the
right,
job.
Right. Okay, that's what I thought.
And it skips all around, right. But it's really an outstanding movie, and it might as well. working for me.
Sure.
You know, working in this building.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Except I don't throw stuff.
And like Kevin Spacey had a hell of a nicer office.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Donaldo and Miguel, how are you?
Hola, we're doing great.
Fantastic, Buzz. You're wearing a fancy jumper today.
No, it's not a jumper. It's a shirt. He's wearing his Crocodile Dundee shirt today.
I think it's
a safari shirt.
Yeah, I think it's bordering on like
military, almost military. It's a drab all over.
You
could be over in Iraq doing the live coverage.
Oh. That's somewhat disappointing, Mike. Can you explain to me what is going on with Pedro Martinez and the Good Luck Dwarf? Did you hear this?
The Good Luck Dwarf?
Yes.
We did hear about the dwarf.
No, somewhere. I didn't. What, have I missed this?
You haven't?
Oh, Mike.
Tell him. Please tell me briefly.
Well, apparently, Pedro Martinez is traveling around with a Dominican Republic native who is a dwarf for good luck.
28, 29 inches high.
Not sure if he rubs his head. Who knows?
You know, I was reading the Boston Globe the other day, and I saw something alluding to that.
You're kidding me.
I thought it was just one of those puff pieces, and I skipped the article. He's really traveling with a dwarf?
It seems to be true.
Oh, God.
That's another
what
good sign.
What can we say?
That's a good sign for your team.
Took him to the clubhouse.
We might need to rethink our loyalties.
And George Steinbrenner has just announced the Yankees will be traveling with three mongoloids in an effort to outdo the Red Sox.
Well, I will research that and find out if it's true.
And Buzz, the shirt, I would think, very Fidel Castro-ish.
Yeah, Castro, that's good.
That's right. The color.
Yeah.
What, Robbie?
I was going to say it looks more like he's hosting the monorail ride at Disney, like where you go around and
could
see
be,
the wild animals.
You know,
it looks
any
like
of those things.
Hello, Don, my show.
Yeah, hi, Mike. This is Doug in Salt Lake City.
Hi there.
I'd like to invite Rob out here this weekend. We're having the conference, and it's really like it. There's a lot of white people.
They're having the conference, Rob.
Yeah.
What, a white conference?
You think I know about it?
What's the conference called, sir?
It's the conference for the Mormon Church.
Oh, the Mormon conference.
The Mormon conference.
No,
okay.
I don't care for that conference.
No.
I'll be having my own.
Yeah, Rob wouldn't come out to a Mormon conference. One word, different.
But I invite all of you to join me at the American Socialist White People's Party conference.
God. Hello. Thanks, Joe. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Love you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm traveling in this really crappy city of San Francisco, wondering where I can get you.
Sure, we're on some station there. Hold on a second, I'll walk you through it.
Alrighty.
What the hell?
We're
San Francisco, KYCY. KYCY, San Francisco, and it's 15:50 a.m.
Alright, I can't wait, San Francisco. Thanks.
All right, have fun. Reception should be as good as that cell phone.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Was he there already, or was
he's driving the streets of San Francisco
now. Hello, Don and Mike show. And our San Francisco, incidentally, Arbitrage is called.
Uh-huh.
Our listenership just doubled in San Francisco.
Excellent.
We got two people now. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Doubled. Hello, you're on the air.
Don and Mike, Gary from Post Falls, Idaho.
Hi there, Gary.
Gary.
I'm a little drunk today, so bear with me.
Hey, at least you admit that up front. I appreciate that.
I got hiccups.
No problem, Gary. What have you been drinking today in Iowa?
A little bit of Hennessy.
Oh, a little
Buzz.
Brandy.
Mm.
Hi.
And now,
hi, how you doing, Buzz?
Is that cognac? Hennessy's cognac. Right?
What is the time difference? Are you
it's
an 1 hour?
O'clock here.
It's 1 o'clock.
It's 1 o'clock.
Are you sure?
We got a guy that drinks.
No.
We seriously do.
Mike.
I can tell bar stories now because we have a guy that drinks that. I don't know the guy's name, but he comes in like during the day and that's his flavor. I just remember
Mike?
That. And it's Hennessy. And he drinks it until he is blind. And are you doing the same thing?
It's probably
pretty true. Much.
Isn't
Mike?
Isn't it going on 3 o'clock where you are?
It's 1 o'clock.
Or a little after 3?
1 o'clock. Mike?
Yes, yes, sir. What can I do for you?
It's important,
he needs my help. Yeah. What?
The Red Sox suck, and I would expect a concession speech tomorrow.
Okay. All right, you drunken fool.
Are you a dwarf?
Why have you been drinking so early in the day?
Today's my day off, and...
Bingo.
Okay. Just thought I'd do a little...
Listen, goodbye. I'm not giving you the Inquisition.
A lot of people drink cognac exclusively because of heart and dietary restrictions. It's different than hard liquor. It has the same amount of alcohol, but it's like wine. So
I forget sometimes that when it comes to booze, Rob really is more of an expert than I am.
Booze and candy.
That's right. Oh, I love my candy.
Hello, Don and Mike show for Granny. Hello, Don and Mike.
How ye doing?
Ah, thank you. We are doing fine. How are ye?
I is fine.
Is that your dog?
That be my dog.
Is it a hound dog?
It am a hound dog.
It am. What do you? Come on. What have you want to talk about?
Hey, you guys got an update on the Yankee game?
What's that?
You got any update on the Yankee game yet?
I think it's 5 minutes into it, so we wouldn't.
What do we look like? Yeah. ESPN? Score is the Yankees 1,000, the Red Sox nothing.
They're not playing the Red Sox.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They're not playing.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Oh, and Pedro's dwarf has filed charges against Pedro for sexual abuse.
No!
That's like Kobe Bryant.
Oh.
And as it turns out, Pedro likes doing the same thing that Kobe likes doing.
Well, it's convenient. And the dwarf said, no means no.
Hello.
Quantry 1967. The name on my uniform said Grease Manelli. But the men in my platoon called me Sergeant Fury.
Okay.
All right. So nice to get tributes to him.
Thanks for calling.
Homage.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Do you know who Frankie Valens is? I do.
That's
Bob.
That's a Larry Michael tribute.
Yeah, I know. Hello. Don and Mike. Hi.
Don.
Yes, hi.
Mike.
Yeah.
Does O'Meara's have a website?
Yes.
What is it?
I have nothing funny to say to that, and
thanks.
I'm not allowed.
Look around, Cafe.
I'm not allowed to call out O'Meara's except unless you. I don't have anything funny to say right now. You've stumped me, you know.
Don and Mike show.
Oh yes, now I do. It's C. You know, it's S
C A T
L O
V E R .com.
That's right.
And let me say, when you go to Mike's place. Mm-hmm. First person to find the hair in the soup, your meal on the house.
Wrong. Marble.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. Two things real quick.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you got insomnia at night and you're laying awake listening, hearing songs in your head.
Sure.
Last night, all night long, I had...
When you're hot, you're hot. And when you're not, you're not.
Yeah.
90 days, Jerry.
Daddy yelling at me all night long.
90 days, I said. Hey, Judge, old buddy, old pal of mine.
When you're hot, you're hot.
When you're not, you're not.
And what did I get Rob going?
When you're hot, you're hot.
And what did you say?
Thanks a lot.
When you hot, you hot.
Yeah, Jerry.
Listen, call 100, or last call. Seems like we've taken 100 calls. You're the last one. What's your name?
Kick-Ass Jay in Sacramento.
Kick-Ass Jay in Sacramento.
No, that's not my nickname. I was saying Kick-Ass.
Yeah, you would have been disqualified if you used that.
Yeah,
as
no,
nickname.
No, that was, that's, no, no,
no.
No
problem, my friend. You have won a sleeve of Don and Mike Pro V1 golf balls.
Thanks a lot!
This is from Golf Bill Tyson. And you got a $20 gift card from Tower Records.
Oh, that is Kick-Ass.
TowerRecords.com, essential to your collection.
Those are winning golf balls, Don.
There you go.
You're hot. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Love you guys. Love you guys a lot.
Here we go. You want to sing along? Go ahead. Go.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
Yeah. Okay, one more time.
You're hot.
Yeah. There you go. All right, nice talking to you.
Hold on
a second. Hold on. That's a phone skip.
Yeah.
That's why it's some people's favorite part of the show.
Absolutely.
I would say, as opposed to yesterday's phone scan,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
that was pretty good today.
I like it when you shuffle it up.
Yep. Got a break here. And
oh, you okay? Oh dear.
Somebody,
please practice the Heimlich
cognac. And dying now, ready to lose consciousness, must.
Feeling clammy.
Must. Baby blues.
Heart rate elevated.
Must press butt.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, it's a funny kind of a thing, but you know, I feel better after I got all that off my chest. I feel like a load. A load is off my shoulders. You're good. Doc, thank you.
Mr. Beattie, I didn't do anything.
Oh, you did something?
No, I did nothing.
You did something?
I didn't.
The load? Gone. Where is it? Don't know. You're good. Nah. You're good, Doc. You're good. I'm going to be getting in touch with you.
Don't, please.
Oh, just one more thing. If I talk to you and you turn me into a fag, I'm going to kill you. You understand?
Could we define fag? Because some feelings may come up.
I go fag, you die. Got it?
The Don and Mike Show. Oh,
masters of the taking touch, Don and Mike.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have Nancy O'Dell from Accent Hollywood.
Fantastic.
On in a couple of seconds. Our company has some sweetheart deal with them where, you know, everything's owned by Viacom now, yes, in some regard. So Access Hollywood is the show that's owned by our company.
Very right. Good.
So we'll have this brought on every day for a couple of seconds to talk about whatever's happening.
How this broad is entertaining.
And today is the day that we will find out exactly what she's like.
Oh, good.
Right. She officially starts on Monday. But we'll have a couple of moments with her today.
That'd wouldn't be she be a Hollywood insider?
They have sent they have sent along a couple of snappy questions we're supposed to ask her.
I don't think she's a pushy broad, Rob. Rob wrote pushy broad. Rob the woman lover.
Today in particular. Hello, ladies.
They would like us to ask her about, they think it would be a good idea to ask her, hey, what's happening with Conan and Jay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. No thanks. We can handle this.
Yeah.
And oh my God, is Britney pregnant? Anna, listen, let her do that stuff.
Britney who?
Let her do that.
We're just gonna say, tell us what's on your agenda
today,
and let her give it to them. And then we'll say, what have you been up to?
Today is the day to get to know her.
That's right. Yeah, today is the day. We are interested.
Yeah.
In the Britney. We are interested in the Jay and but today we want to know. This is the lady who.
Yes.
Who's going to be with us for quite some time?
I believe they've signed a contract. She's going to appear from I believe anywhere from 2 to 8 or perhaps 9 minutes.
Wow.
A day on the show, depending on how much we have to say to her.
Sure. Absolutely, and if we establish a wonderful repertoire, then it'll be exciting.
So anyway, I've been TiVoing the show, and you know, it's like all those shows, it's good. She has to work with that tool, Billy Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And I only call him a tool because, well, first, he's related to Bush.
Right.
And second, he did a morning show in Washington for a while. And I don't think we have any feud going with him.
I actually think he's a nice guy. I got a chance to meet him once, and, he seems like a decent guy. But then again, I might have been skewed when I talked to him because I was with Big Gum Jim. And everybody I would meet when I was standing next to Big Gum Jim seems better.
Yeah, of course.
Because I'm with Big Gum Jim.
That's contract, right. Yeah.
But so that might have clouded it. That was that day we did that benefit down in an ice arena playing hockey for something, and Big Gum Jim was down there, and I was trying to leave, and Big Gum Jim just moved so slowly and just was going, "Oh, I'm coming. Well, I'm coming," and just, so he seemed like a nice guy.
So we'll have her on here in a second. Mike, I want to start this little segment by showing you a visual, and perhaps you can tell me. Now, I'm going to show you a picture. Can you tell me, and you're going to have to lean forward because I can't let you hold it to see. Can you tell me what National Football League coach this is at a very young date acting as a ball boy?
John Gruden.
John Gruden is not correct.
Okay, let me see it.
Take a closer look.
He's a head coach?
Yes, he is a head
coach. In the NFL?
Mm-hmm. In the National Football League.
Bill Parcells?
Correct. Now, the reason...
That's amazing.
Right,
that is amazing. What happened to him?
Well, God. Mike... The
aging process is so sad.
The story is, the picture I just showed you was not, in fact, of Bill Parcells.
It wasn't?
No. It was a picture of Cynthia Nixon's girlfriend. The woman... Oh, my God!
Yeah.
The woman that Dave Foley, the girl from Sex and the City.
Wow.
The woman that she left...
You tricked me.
Yeah, of course I did. There would be no other way that I could aptly describe the broad that she left her husband for... Looks like Bill Parcells with red hair. There you go. Now take a look at the whole thing. Now that you can see the whole picture with the story and everything, How great is that?
It's pretty incredible.
So I don't know how you, at home, how you could get that picture. I guess do a search for Cynthia Nixon.
You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked.
From the New York Post or something like New York Daily News.
That's scary.
Anyway, it's such a funny picture.
That is scary.
And it really, and I know that works because I went to three people today before you arrived. And,
right.
And two out of three guessed Bill Parcells.
Right.
One person, the sales guy who I don't think plays golf.
Right.
Said it's Andy Reid of the Eagles.
Oh, my God.
Hold on, what are you doing with the light?
It just the one directly in back of you, somebody played with that when we weren't there.
Okay.
Now you can turn them up as bright as you like.
Turn them back up again?
There you go, no problem at all.
That's Cynthia Nixon's brand new husband.
Very interesting.
Nice picture. There you go, up a little more, Robbie. There you go. That's good. Yeah, I like the lights in here to be like McDonald's French fry lights.
Every now and then somebody comes in and messes with them, and I was basically going to finish the show with a detached retina.
From the Kobe file. Again, thank you to smokinggun.com.
Yeah.
These guys.
They keep giving.
These guys come up with the transcripts and.
Right.
And forward them to us before they put them on their website.
We seem to have been getting interesting little tidbits about Kobe.
Yeah, here's what we got today from the guys at Smoking Gun. You remember a couple of days ago, they sent us a transcript where Kobe was talking to the cops and indicating that other guys in the NBA, when they fool around and they have sex with women, that they pay them money to shut them up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it turns out, guess who he was talking about? And it, when you go specifically into the Q&A transcript, let me see. Kobe Bryant made a comment to us about what another basketball player does in situations like these, says Detective Doug Winters in his police report. Quote from Kobe Bryant, I should have done what Shaq does.
Oh, boy.
Shaq pays his women not to say anything. Shaq is paid up to $1 million already for situations just like this.
Oh, my.
Wow. Kobe.
Wow.
Let me just say. Watch it. Dude, watch it.
Well, I mean, their relationship anyway.
I know.
Yeah. You know, do you think maybe Shaq had some knowledge of that and that caused the tension when he left?
I don't even know.
Wow.
I just know that, let me see. Shaq hasn't said anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
When Shaq,
was it Doc?
When he says something, he will say something.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I that stinks. You know,
got a dime on him.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you're brought in and you're talking to the cops, and you just throw another guy's name out. And it's not throwing another guy's name; it's throwing a teammate's name out.
Right. Saying, hey, I should do what my good buddy Shaq does.
Amazing.
And following
that up, sure makes Kobe sound a little weaselly.
Following up on Kobe, it's not out yet, but the new Inquirer hits the grocery stores tomorrow or the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they say that his wife left him 2 weeks ago.
Well, who can blame her?
But all these transcripts came out that the whole thing with them getting the tattoos on their wrists and wearing the bracelets and everything, that's gone. Now, the bare naked ladies, I only bring them up because a couple of days ago, you were in the office when you heard this, Mike.
Right.
Somebody came by and was pitching me, said, you want the bare naked ladies on the show? I said, sure.
Absolutely. Love them.
But there's only going to be one of them. Whoever the singer is.
One lady.
The one bare naked lady. He'll be coming in and singing some acoustic songs.
Excellent.
So we said, yeah, that would be cool.
We
like the bare naked ladies, even if it's only one of them. As it turns out, though, since that happened, the bare naked ladies have signed to do a TV show for Fox, a variety show called the Bare Naked Ladies Variety Show.
They're funny guys.
Yeah. But here's the thing that worries me, and you got to go back in the day like me to remember this. Fox says in the press release that they are modeling the Bare Naked Ladies show after the Hudson Brothers Variety Hour.
Brilliant.
Now, if there is anybody...
Boy, that's a pretty terrible example of you.
If there's anybody that remembers, back in the 70s, one of the Hudson Brothers...
Why don't you just say Sonny and Cher?
Yeah, except Sonny and Cher was a good variety show.
But do you understand, if you're comparing them, I'm talking to the marketers. Why don't you say Sonny and Cher? Why are you saying the Hudson Brothers?
Probably because there's... How many bare naked lady guys are there? Three? Five? Something like that?
Maybe.
Because there were three Hudson Brothers.
Right.
And Sonny and Cher was a...
And these guys are funny. They write funny songs.
They sure do.
But the Hudson Brothers... of course, I'm pathetic enough to remember watching The Hudson Brothers.
Listen, for a while you had the Hudson Brothers, you had Carol Burnett, you had Sonny and Cher, you had all these crap varieties.
Ray Stevens had a show.
Ray Stevens, Flip Wilson had a show. I remember when I was a kid, Richard Pryor had a show that lasted, I think, two times before they yanked it off. It was so good.
Really? Maybe we can expect to see all the Bare Naked Ladies in one box on Hollywood Squares.
Don't forget the Ken Berry Wow Show.
Oh, God.
Singer, dancer, actor, triple threat.
All right, Brain. Go put that big, gigantic 30-block pound of cheese in your head in a box for a second. Who the hell remembers the Ken Berry Wow Show?
How do you... wait, you're younger. You're much younger than we are. How do you remember that stuff?
Very old soul.
Yeah. My God. You know what that is? That is decades simply in front of one thing, a box with pictures on it.
It was a brief blip in time.
Amazing.
Hold on. Here is Jerome. Jerome.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Jerome.
So that we don't vilify Kobe too much in this, Shaquille has been quoted, I guess, in a new rap album that he has out, stating things that Kobe did and what kind of teammate Kobe.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Listen, well, first off, if Shaq's done that, he's kept it under the radar so nobody's known. I mean, isn't that like the basic rule? You don't rat out.
Well, and also, if Shaq has a rap song now, because of all the bad blood between these two guys. Kobe did this back before all this went down, right? He gave these interviews to the cops, when he was arrested.
That he was arrested.
I mean, so this goes back a very, very long way. And he's throwing a teammate under the bus.
An ex-teammate.
Right away.
An ex-teammate. I still think...
But at the time, a teammate.
Yeah, at the time, you're correct. At the time, a teammate.
Right.
Still, I think, if given the choice of either of those guys to start a team with, I don't care what they do in the bedroom, how can you not go with Shaq?
No, you got
to
go with the big man.
How can you not go with Shaq? And now he's going to be motivated, which means he's going to be given more interviews.
Right.
And anytime Shaq talks...
it'll be good.
That's good for our show.
Fantastic.
CBS. We got something from CBS. We got something in the electronic mail from CBS. Our parent company. They want us to plug something. I mean, they don't want us to plug it, but they wanted us to see if we could find a way to mention it.
Okay.
And we get this stuff from them all the time.
Sure.
Can you mention that
it's we're... CBS Viacom Synergy.
You know, why don't you mention that we're selling Everybody Loves Raymond t-shirts or something like, you know, listen, pound sand with that. I got this one the other day. Because I got a CBS.com account, so I get the company stuff. Here's the new product. It is and I should point out, it is squarely marketed towards children.
Okay.
On the box, it says ages 8 and under. It is the fantastic CSI Forensic Activity Kit.
Cool.
For children.
For children?
That's for children.
Genius.
Under 8. Now, I could see if you're going to market, you know, for like Star Trek nerds or something, if you wanted like the CSI box for an adult. They want to pretend that they're in CSI.
Yes, now your youngster can scrape the dead skin under the fingernails.
Hold on. It comes with the yellow tape that says crime scene. It also comes with vials so that if you want to, like, it suggests that you put grape juice or something in the vials to look like blood.
Daddy, here's my Q-tip. I want to do my DNA swab.
And they have an exclusive deal with Toys R Us and CBS Online.
Oh, God.
To sell the CBS marketed CSI toy forensic activity kits ages 8 and younger.
That's right. Now your toddler can do their own autopsy.
That's the best. That is simply the best.
Oh, that's nice.
God. Oh, I'm still looking at this picture of...
chilling.
Because everyone on the screen wants to know. We're getting a lot of calls. People want to Google this person's name. They can't find it just by doing a search. His name is Christine Marioni. Marioni.
That's Cynthia Nixon's new love interest?
Yeah, that's the name. So everybody that's calling trying to do the Google search, that's it. Christine Marioni.
I can't believe people are more interested in that than running out and getting the toddler CSI kit. It's just in time for Christmas.
Where's the Clementine tram music?
Oh, right there.
Because we do have a story. It doesn't really involve Clementine. It's about something from Thailand, but, you know.
Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling.
We are going to sing about you, even though you are not from Thailand.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling Clementine.
Been a long time since your cupcakes, oh, my darling Clementine.
Oh, my darling,
oh, my darling, oh, my darling Clementine.
And we sure do like that other sticky thing you made. Oh, my darling, Clementine.
Some kind of sticky bun thing that you made for us.
I like it when she bake.
Because you know, Clementine Tran, she work at station.
Yes.
She good worker. Oh.
Yes.
She from North Carolina, although she look like she from somewhere else.
Yes, she talk nothing like this.
She talk nothing like this, but she love it when we... She love us long time when we talk like this about her.
You know, the nice thing about Clementine, we'll make these jokes about baking and stuff, and she'll bring something in this week.
Yeah, well, Mike, this is from Thailand.
Okay.
Now... What are Thai kids, what are they doing to show their status? There are problems in Thailand that very rich parents now, so that kids can show their bring.
What do?
Real kids?
Mm-hmm.
They're buying their children braces for their teeth, even if the children do not need the braces.
Oh, fantastic. It shows status.
No.
Look at my choppers. Ah, eat egg salad sandwich.
It is a new sign of wealth in Bangkok. They have... They have just had their tiniest girl. She is only 2 years old, and she has a baby set of braces on her baby teeth.
Oh.
And then when her baby teeth come out and her regular teeth go in, she will get her adult braces.
That is strange, yeah.
Oh, my darling.
Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling, Clementine.
Oh, your teeth are so nice and straight from North Carolina. Oh, my darling,
Clementine.
Oh, and there you go. That's that.
You know, I just jumped on the bandwagon with Thai food. It's my new favorite food.
Mm. Right.
Oh, my God, it's good.
Do I like me that Thai food?
I never. I just, like 3 weeks ago, first time I ever went into a Thai restaurant.
Curry, cilantro.
Oh, my God. Good. Fantastic.
I don't know what it is that I like, but I do know. Or, Rob, you know, you get to call when Frida calls during a... On the day she works.
How come you guys never told me about that?
Frida will call and Rob will say to me, like, leave me a message. Frida calls, she says, do you want Thai food tonight? I love Thai food.
Order amazing.
Order the Thai stick.
Hello, Carlin.
Hey, baby, what is that Thai food I like so bad?
Oh, it's the obvious one. It's the one all Americans like. Pad Thai.
Pad Thai?
That's right.
Anyway, oh, that kicks ass.
You
pad Thai?
Is that Mike?
I don't even remember what I ordered, but what it to me was Chinese food without the gooey sauces.
No, try pad Thai. I mean, it's like beginner Thai food that everybody loves.
Okay.
It's good, right. It's spicy, it's
good.
It's filling.
Noodle, Thai tart. Noodles, chicken, peanut sauce.
Thai tart.
Mm-hmm. All right, baby, thank you for the tip in on that.
You're welcome, sweet pea.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye, honey. I didn't think today would be the day to bring up what I wanted to bring up about her.
Okay.
I'll bring it up another day. I said something
you
yesterday.
You pick your day that's best.
Yeah, I'll pick a better day.
Yeah.
What were you going to bring? I mean, not the what was it?
The Mount Sex.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's... You seem to have a hard time getting to that.
Yeah, oh, no. It's only because...
Didn't you tease that Friday?
No, just yesterday.
You sure?
I'm positive. Just yesterday.
All right.
It's something she said to me weeks ago. You know, it
still lingers.
Oh, yeah.
It lingers longer.
Oh, it sure, you bet. Obviously, the psychological scars are still there.
Yeah, you appear to be traumatizing.
Mm-hmm. She said to me, but I see we got a break for the broad from Access Hollywood.
All right.
Let me just leave you with this as a feel-good. Oh, let me get the feel-good music. Special feel-good music.
Yeah, it'll help us.
And this is not one of those stories like a car that crashes or something.
Well, thank God.
This is a real...
Buzz and I do the same brain thing that night.
No. Wrong.
Oh, right.
Wrong music. Not our real feel-good music, Rob. I mean the feel-good music.
That's the busy feel-good music.
Yes. Come on. You got it?
That's the hummingbird feel-good music.
We talked about hustling, the label on
hustling.
That one.
The label is what
now,
I remember.
There you go. Now... First, let me show you a photo, Mike. Again, Mike will act as the eyes for you, our listeners. If you could please identify that celebrity.
That is the late John Ritter, and I believe his widow.
Yes.
Widow Ritter.
Now, I don't think this is morbid. I'm using it as a feel-good.
All right.
You see that picture?
Mm-hmm.
See that tuxedo?
Yeah.
John Ritter wore that tuxedo in that picture. That picture was taken... at his last People's Choice Awards.
Wow.
That tuxedo is now available on eBay.
People, you know, just goes to prove what I always say. People are wonderful.
I'm having a birthday.
Now, let me say.
I bet you'd be about the same size.
I think so.
Let me say that it is for charity. Okay.
There you go.
But still.
Is it for a heart charity?
I don't know, even know what it is. It's something to do with UNICEF. But it's creepy. I mean, even though it's for charity.
Right.
Who wants to buy this? And you get the picture.
You know people will bid on it.
You get the picture that gives you, like, the certificate of authenticity. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is indeed the suit that he wore the last time he went to the People's Choice Awards.
You think somebody that buys something like that, they get it, and they don't use it as, like, a collectible or anything. They put it on.
Oh, yeah.
With nothing underneath.
Yeah.
That suit may have hugged Joyce DeWitt.
That would look good on Cynthia Nixon's boyfriend.
Who would bid on something like that?
Hello. Hi, boys.
Hello there. Russ? Oh, we got a break. Russ?
Hey, you guys still looking for the site for Cynthia Nixon?
Oh, if you've got a direct site, go ahead.
Well, there's a picture of her or him on NY Daily News. I'm seeing two things when I look at this.
Well, go to NewYorkDailyNews.com then. That's the best place to go.
See, she's talking to a black chick, and she's got red hair, and she looks just like Bill Parcells.
Well, I'm seeing Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah, a little Danny Bonaducci. Yeah, and a little Conan O'Brien also.
And you know what else I see?
What?
Fish.
Fish.
Yeah, I see fish.
Later, guys.
Get out of here. Good job. Get out of here. We got to be back in a moment with Nancy O'Dell from Access Hollywood.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Our campaign's been broke for months.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Mom, will you go back to the hotel?
The Don and Mike Show.
You two are taking a time out.
Wait till you hear what they done did. The Don and Mike Show.
No, we didn't. No, you didn't.
Oh, you just think you're so smart, don't you?
No, you didn't. With Clinton. For if.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Clinton.
For if. No, you didn't. With Clinton.
You guys are tards.
For if. Yeah. Okay. You got the tarred shell.
Your brain has the shell on it.
Shut up, Richard.
Okay, now we're waiting on her.
Odell.
Waiting on Odell. Yeah. This is the fancy Access Hollywood theme song.
Rock and
very
roll.
Cool. Supposed to get us in the mood for Hollywood. Let's see, what does this say? Here's the email from the people at the network. Nancy asked if she can call to you. Can we try that today and see if it works? Can I give her your hotline number? She also asks if we can focus on a couple of Hollywood storylines today instead of a lot of stories, since this is a meet-and-greet kind of day.
Uh-huh. Nah, we're not even going to deal with any Hollywood stories.
Conan and Jay. Like we didn't know this. Conan to take over in 2009. Mm-hmm. Everyone's wondering what's behind it. Jane Carter is on Access Hollywood today.
Isn't that June Carter?
No, Jane Carter, mother of Nick Carter.
I guess if it was June Carter, she would be, she's no longer with us.
This is the Hollywood music. What is this? Jane Carter, mother of Backstreet Boy Nick Carter.
Uh-huh.
Oh, talks about him beating up Paris Hilton. That's my take on that, allegedly.
Okay, so I'm ready. Where is she? Where's the girl? Where's the TV broad?
Nancy.
Bring her.
Nancy Odell. Lovely Nancy Odell.
Well, I've got her biography here. It's fascinating reading. I'll tell you, she's a handsome woman.
Yeah, she certainly is.
But if she doesn't call here pretty quick, she is going to be all right. Let's see. Here she is, Nancy Odell. Nancy.
Hello.
Hello.
This doesn't sound like Nancy.
Nancy Odell, what's happening? Oh, hold on. Here she is, really.
I just lying.
I bet that's her. I got it.
That was a guy on the other
Hello.
Line.
Hey, it's Nancy O'Dell.
Hi there, I'll start your music again.
There you go. There's the music right there.
Hi there, Nancy. This is Don and Mike.
Did we hang up on her?
I just hung up on her. I swear to Christ, I didn't mean to.
That went well.
I didn't mean to.
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't mean to. The button for the phone is right by the button for the music.
Yeah.
And I hit the button so the music wouldn't drown her out.
No, you didn't.
Clinton, poor Ed. No,
hey,
you didn't.
Hey, the phone's ringing again.
Hey, Nancy, I didn't mean to hang up on you.
Did you hang up on me?
What a terrible start that was.
No,
accident,
really. No, I didn't. Here's the music again. Now, here is Nancy O'Dell from Access Hollywood.
we understand that you will be starting on Monday, joining us every day to talk about what you have on Access Hollywood that night.
That's what I hear.
That's what I hear as well.
Well, that's delightful. We are delighted to have you.
We're fans.
Well,
of
thank you. It'll be a treat to talk to two handsome, strapping, wonderful.
Now, Nancy, do not start this relationship by lying to us, please.
I can't start out with a little innocent flirtation.
Even though you're based in Hollywood, please don't lie to us.
You can flirt.
See, that's why we can just have just a little love thing going over the airwaves.
Why not?
That's fine, but you should know that we're here. Hideously deformed,
we are.
Both of us, fat beyond, like the guy that Geraldo had to get out of the house with the crane. That's how big and fat
we are. We barely can make it into the studio every day.
It's that strapping, deep, sexy voices that I like.
Yeah, well, okay, well, that's fine.
Nothing
yes,
else matters.
Your phone relationship.
Well, that's all fine and dandy, except for that acid reflux.
which is back every now and then, huh?
Which is also kidding. And my diverticulitis is out of control
today.
No,
that's right. I'm the one with the diverticulitis.
That's right.
Forget.
My kidney failure is
absolutely
just around the corner.
Oh, my goodness.
We are knocking on death's door. Listen, Nancy. First off, oh, look at this. You know what school she went to?
Where'd she go to school?
What shirt do I have on today?
You are wearing a Clemson shirt where your son goes to school.
That's right.
Wow. Hey, are you a graduate?
I am a graduate of Clemson University.
Wow, a tiger.
Yeah, my kid.
Did you know that wearing the shirt in today?
No, I just wore the shirt because my kid's a sophomore there.
What a coincidence. It's a good school. Does he like it?
Oh, he loves it.
Loves it.
And he especially, well, you know all the rituals down there. You went through, I'm sure, all the, did you, there's some creek or something where you jump off some big dam and you, there's like a rope swing. This is something very famous that kids do and they almost kill themselves, but almost every kid that goes to the school has done this. Did you ever do that?
I don't think that I did that, but I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, anyway, my kid did it. Dislocated his shoulder.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, but he's fine. He's, what the hell, he's 19. Almost 20.
Yeah.
So Nancy.
As long as he's okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
You're on this show, and you had been on this show with the other guy who went to get his own show, and then you replaced him with Billy Bush. How are you getting along with William Bush?
Oh, Billy and I get along great. We always have. And it's such a give-and-take kind of chemistry that we have. And we have a lot of fun. I mean, I think the show is actually, you can just see the fun that Billy and I have back and forth. Because we get to ad-lib a lot, and we get to play, and we don't do just, standard anchored leads and tags into pieces. We support each other.
Does he ever reminisce about his days here in Washington as a lowly DJ?
He loves those days.
Okay.
Like, I could do whatever I wanted to on the radio.
There you go.
Yeah, and now when we ask you stuff, when we start doing this feature, I know you don't want to give away, like, on any given day what you're going to be, exactly what the story is about. And on your show, you're generally upbeat. All of you people in your genre are. That's what you have to do. I guess what I'm asking is here, when you appear on this show, if we could possibly peel away a couple of layers, like peeling
of
an
niceness?
Onion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And if we could find out, perhaps from you, Nancy, this is a good opening question for our audience to hear. The many years that you've been involved with Access Hollywood, who is the rudest celebrity that you've ever dealt with?
Well, see, the good thing about our job, and I'm not just saying this to be politically correct, but our show is celebrity friendly.
Yes, sir.
And they need us to promote their projects, which is a good thing because it keeps the show on the air. So they're basically all friendly. Now, different ones have had different moments where they're not as friendly as some of the others, but nobody has been downright rude.
Well, so could you possibly then, because we love the negative so much on this show.
Peel back the layer.
Could you possibly recount a negative experience? Perhaps when somebody had a...
I tell somebody all the time that there's somebody who's not the easiest to interview, but he's not rude. He just doesn't like to talk about himself.
Okay.
It's a very hard interview, and that's Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
He's really quiet, and he doesn't like to talk about himself, and that's what we want to talk about.
Okay, I'll tell you an
observation.
Here's an observation, and I'm just a guy who watches him on TV and the movies. He got the crazy eyes. Harrison Ford, seriously, he got the crazy eyes, and then he's got that nuts haircut that he had in that movie with Josh Hartnett.
Right, absolutely. He started that, I think, in the movie with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
You know, What Lies Beneath is when he started that crazy hair.
Yeah, right. And he's always got the crazy eyes. Have you noticed that Harrison Ford's got the crazy eyes?
I've always thought his eyes were
kind of
pretty.
Oh, well, he's got that
but
that guy
he is, he's like he's a difficult interview because it's hard to get things out of him, but it's not like he's rude. He's
how competitive
quiet.
Is it? How competitive is it in your racket? I mean, to
extremely
to go out
nothing
and
wrong with a little friendly competition, and there's nothing wrong with me telling you there were kicking you know what as far as my. My old friend, new show. That
you can. All right. Well, then let's be honest.
Don, we're kicking there. You know why?
I say it, honey. Say kick his ass, Pat O'Brien. Kick his ass.
Kicking his ass.
Yes. There you go. Good.
Welcome.
Welcome to the show.
Is there?
Wait. I'm sorry. We couldn't hear you.
Nothing wrong with a little friendly competition.
No, it's what America healthy. Was founded on.
Listen, let's talk about this then. As long as you brought his name up and the fact that you're kicking his ass, that's great. Let's face it. You know what he was? He was an abyss. You know what he was on that show? He's like a gigantic weight that was holding you down.
Amen.
The whole time he was on that show, I'd
That's
watch the
right.
show, and it'd be Nancy O'Dell standing up there and going, here's what happened today with Britney, and here's what happened with Tom Cruise. Now let's go to Pat O'Brien, who would be wearing his goddamn Ben Franklin glasses and doing that whole talking down to the audience. Like, this is Pat O'Brien. When I went on a shopping tour with Nicole Richie,
right.
please, blow it out your... That word you said.
What is the best part of doing
good riddance to him. Am I right, Nancy? Good riddance to Pat O'Brien.
Well, you know what? I wish him all the best, and I wouldn't say anything bad about him.
Listen,
I worked with him for a long time.
Here's the competition. He was a boil.
Billy and I are having a great time. I will say that we're having a really good time.
Boil on your ass.
Doesn't even play piano. What is the best
thing? We're having a good time. And you know what? I think that Billy eventually he was going to be the co-host anyway. So it just kind of...
Oh, so Pat O'Brien maybe was going to be inched out anyway, no matter what happened?
Oh, I think that they wanted to keep him, you know, I think that they wanted to, I think that they were grooming Billy eventually, thinking that Pat, you know, maybe didn't want to, you know, work for the years to come, and, you know, so I think they were grooming him.
I'll say this about Pat O'Brien. Let me say something positive about him, because I don't want you to just think that I'm a jerk.
He's a great broadcaster.
I think Pat O'Brien hides his drinking very well.
He just what?
He hides his drinking very well.
Oh, stop it.
We're just having fun, Nancy. That's what we do.
I would watch the show.
Welcome to the bottom.
Now, listen, when we talk to you every day, we would like, also we'd like to know, what did you enjoy for breakfast this morning, Nancy?
What did I have for breakfast?
Yes, because we want to know about...
My parents are visiting me from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So my sweet mother got up and cooked...
Well, she just hung out that time. That wasn't me.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Her sweet mother got up
and cooked. And cooked.
Regretfully.
Regretfully, she how? You didn't touch anything that time, right?
No, you were. That click indicated that was her. Oh,
look, the phone's
here
ringing.
Here she is again.
Well, now we both hung up on each other.
Well, now just make her wait a second.
That's good.
Let her ring.
Yeah.
Dying to know what mother made.
Hello?
Nothing like cell phones in L.A., huh?
All right. What did your mom make you for breakfast?
My mom made me bacon and eggs and grits.
Grits?
Of course you do.
Oh, all right.
I hate grits. God, they're awful.
I love grits.
Hold on.
The best thing is when you take your scrambled eggs and your bacon and you bunch them up into little bits and you mix it all together.
So when after you ate this, did you? I guess what I want to know is, how do you vomit the food back up?
Oh,
God. Now, because listen, you're a handsome woman and you have one. I don't know what dress size you wear, but you know you're a good looking woman. I gotta think you can't be there eating scrambled.
There's
eggs.
No way you could eat like that every morning, Nancy.
Okay, well, it was egg whites and turkey bacon.
There you go. See, I knew it.
It's all your protein. Egg whites are their protein, mm-hmm. and the bacon is the, you know, turkey bacon, but it's protein, too, so that's okay. But, I mean, I used to work out a lot more than I am right now. I've been so busy, so I need to start working out. But I got my curve.
Have you ever met TV's Lisa Remini?
Yes, I have.
From King of Queens?
Leah Remini.
Oh, Leah Remini. Yeah, I always get that name wrong.
I understand you always mess the name up.
Have you ever been to her restaurant, Vivian's?
I haven't. I didn't even know she had a restaurant.
Oh, there's a story.
See,
well, we had a relationship.
We
had a relationship with Miss Remini, and we used to talk about her restaurant, Vivian's, that she has over there in somewhere in Los Angeles.
It's where her husband, who's a struggling actor.
Angelo
Pagan, he works there. He makes the sandwiches and stuff.
I think he's a line cook.
anyway, I'm going to have to try this out. We'll go there.
Nancy,
right.
I will ask you one thing from this dumb prep thing that they sent us. They don't have to send us stuff to talk to you about. Without giving away whatever you've got on Access Hollywood tonight, Conan and Jay, here's what I heard. Tell me if it's true or false. I heard that there is an out that if Jay wants to keep the job, if the ratings are good or something, that there's a way he can keep the job, and that there's a big balloon payment that Conan O'Brien gets if he doesn't get the job. Is that true?
I have heard that too. Now, I have not heard that directly from NBC sources, but I have heard that too. And I think that what happened with that is that, I mean, Jay, the ratings on The Tonight Show are their best ever, so it's not like they're trying to get rid of Jay. I think what they're trying to do is keep Conan, because he's been courted by different networks and his contract is up this year. So they don't want him to go. So they're promising him this, you know, future show, and then, you know, if he were not to get it, if that is true, and he'd get some big balloon, it's as if he were working anyway, you know?
It doesn't seem like Jay Leno, though, with that workaholic rap that he's got, where, you know, he doesn't take any vacations, that he would be the type of guy that would want to check out early. It just doesn't seem...
As he's saying, he'll be 59 years old then, so it's not like he's not done this for a good while. He's talking about 5 years from now.
Yeah, that makes me feel old.
5 years, mm-hmm. You know, it's not... That's not old at all, but it's not, look at how long Johnny Carson did it.
Right.
But I think that it's not like, people are like, oh my gosh, Jay's leaving. Well, he thought, this is not for 5 years they're talking about. And, a lot of things can change between now and then.
Yeah, and that's why I don't believe it. Because,
you don't think it's going to happen?
Well, I don't doubt that it's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen just like this, that a guy doesn't sign like a death sentence like Jay Leno. Hi, I'll do this show for 5 more years.
Right.
Where's his drive? And Conan O'Brien, what's he supposed to do? Sit around at 12:30 and think, gee, I'm going to finally make it to the big time in 5 more years? I mean, that's a whole other presidential election away.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy, this is an important question for us.
Okay.
About your personal preference.
Getting to know you.
I cannot tell you who I'm going to vote for.
No. It has nothing to do with politics. It's like it's like our Rorschach test.
Okay.
Your personal preference. I know you love them both. They're both talented, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Letterman or Leno?
Oh, you're good here.
It is how we decide if we like someone or not. I mean, and either way, it'll be fine.
We know you're going to spend a lot of time watching both shows, but which would be the first one?
You know, I work on the NBC lot, where all my bosses are NBC.
Well, yeah, there's no way.
My answer would have to be Leno.
Oh,
we're sorry.
Well, but we have to remember that she qualified it by saying she's on the
NBC. You're talking about me, saying something against my bosses. I'm not a girl. I'm going to say what I need to say.
I understand.
So
I will say this. I am a huge fan of Dave Letterman. And there's certain nights that I want to, there's such a different style of show, and they are such different styles of hosts.
He's the Viacom guy.
There's some nights that I want to tune to Letterman because I'm, in a... In a more...
In a mood, what?
A dry,
to laugh? To laugh?
Yeah.
To laugh?
Dry wit of humor.
As opposed
to... He just comes with such funny things that are just so off the cuff.
When Conan takes over, do you think he'll have as many bright lights as Jay has? That's part of my theory about why America seems to love Jay. Is
the bright lights and the loud music and colors.
That is so funny because I have always said that about different shows. In fact, I'm always like... Make her set really, really bright, because I think that people do. It makes you feel happy for some reason when you got bright
lights. That's their theory. We believe it.
Mm-hmm. All right, a final thing here, Nancy. Well, we're starting music. Well, Conan O'Brien, if he does get this job, will he go to Los Angeles?
That's a good question, and I haven't heard them talk about it. I don't know. I know
another story to check
kind of guy, but I think if that's where he needed to be to do the Tonight Show, and he was becoming the helm of the Tonight Show, I think he absolutely would.
All right,
but I think that's a dream for a comedian.
Listen, you're good, and we'll look forward to talking to you every day on this show.
You a pleasure.
Okay, have a good show tonight, and we'll watch you. It's in syndication, of course, everywhere, all over America, mm-hmm. Access Hollywood.
Thanks so much, Nancy. We look forward to chatting with you.
Appreciate it, guys. Good to talk to you.
Bye-bye. And enjoy puking up that breakfast.
Stop it.
Bye. And remember, you can't spell yodel without Nancy O'Dell.
Bingo.
Bye, honey.
Bye, guys.
Bye, lady.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye.
There she is.
Honey.
There is.
You had to throw Honey in.
Of course.
Yeah. Make her your own, Donnie.
She's going to be on the show every day, honey.
Bye, Tuts.
Baby. Remember, you can't spell yodel.
But, Rob, you were talking about the yodel you eat, right?
Yes.
Not to be confused with Ho-Ho or Double Dog.
Hey, that's
it. You know what? She wasn't that pushy.
No, not at all. She was very nice.
I think she'll be fine.
Absolutely. With the updates, we'll find out. She seems to dig all the information.
We'll work her in. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll work her in.
Oh, no, listen, baby. Two more beautiful women joining us in a second. Joe and Ed, the furniture guys.
Yes. Yeah.
We are big fans of these guys.
They had the same breakfast. Only it wasn't turkey bacon.
Their website is furnitureguys.com. They have a show on the Discovery Home Channel, DirecTV 286, uh-huh. Men in Tool Belts. The Furniture Guys, we love them. I don't even know what they're going to talk about.
They're funny guys.
Yep. Joe and Ed, and they'll be with us right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the muffler plant's gone too.
Yep. Sounds good. Melt the chocolate inside the dash. That really ups the resale value.
I think you're going to be okay here. They have a thin candy shell.
Surprised you didn't know that.
I think your brain has a thick candy shell.
Your brain has the shell on it.
Are you talking?
Shut up, Richard.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hello!
Hi.
Hello!
Jerry.
Hello.
Hello, Jerry.
Station break in Burlington, Iowa. That would be KCPS in Burlington, Vermont. WXZQ. Well, we got so many affiliates, the print is getting very small. Portland, Oregon. Simulcast in Salem, Oregon.
Oh, very good.
That would be 910. Matt. Houston, Texas. Tomorrow goes 4 hours on KIKK.
Very excited about that.
And right. KXTY. K-Ecstasy. And let's do some ecstasy.
The X.
Here on K-Ecstasy. That's 99.7 in San Luis Obispo, California.
Too enthusiastic?
Yeah, I'm on. Right in Buzz's wheelhouse again.
Wow.
Joining us now, Joe and Ed, the furniture guys. Hey, dudes.
Hey, dudes. Hey, wacky drive time DJs.
How you doing?
There they are. I remember that energy, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, it's all here.
Mm-hmm. We want to be wacky, too.
We like Joe and Ed.
You are wacky.
I carry a cart machine around with me. Sound effects.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are interviews that are easy and interviews that are difficult. These guys, you just wind them up and let them go.
Let me get a plug in first that Joe and Ed have a book. It's called The Furniture Guy's Book.
A great title, huh?
We're going to call it Forever Amber Was Taken.
Spent a long time thinking of that title, fellas.
Well, we paid plenty of money to trademark those two words.
And we were going to call it Have Brush Will Travel.
And then you go to their website, furnitureguys.com, to get it, and they have the TV show Men in Tool Belts. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where it gets a little hinky.
Uh-oh. Okay.
It's not like you can say on Discovery Channel or on TLC.
No, Discovery has their digital channel, Home and Leisure.
Yes. Ah.
They own 38 networks, apparently.
So if you have DirecTV, their show is on Channel 286.
Is that we're up there in the way highs, in the way 200s.
That's the Discovery Home Channel.
And if you have a Proctor Silex toaster, just set it on burn, and we'll appear on the side like the Shroud of Turin.
And, you know, speaking of that, we hear we're on at 9 o'clock tomorrow night.
That's right. America, send a message to those two guys. Don't watch the debate. Watch the Furniture Guys.
Oh, yeah, because that's right. Oh. If you really want to completely tune out from the debate, watch you guys.
Yeah, you could watch tomorrow and learn how to put in a shed.
Yeah. I watch Horseface Harry and Junior when you watch Ed and Joe.
Let me ask you a question, fellas. Political question for you. Who do you think, who strikes you as being the most handy? W or John Kerry?
Ross Perot. I missed the last couple of years.
Which guy do you think would be the first to hit his thumb with a hammer? He's trying to nail something in a board.
Oh, Junior.
I want to put him in a ring and give them both hammers. How about that?
Okay.
Let them hit each other in the thumb.
That would be the best debate, wouldn't it? Just a wrestling match.
Do they have to debate? Couldn't they just wrestle?
If you guys were going to have George Bush and John Kerry build something like that would be the result of the winner, whoever built the best and the quickest, what would you have them, a basic act of carpentry, what would you have them put together?
I'd have them build character.
Now that's,
there you go. Yeah. That's good enough.
That's pretty good.
That's them.
Fellas, your show is still, the way that I describe your show to people is say, like, if you like Bob Vila or if you like This Old House, well, forget it.
Yeah, and don't watch us.
Don't watch this. If you like Trading Spaces, but you find that the only real thing that you like about that show is the girl who hosts it and her belly shirts. Mm-hmm. Well, forget it, because the Furniture Guys, I was watching an episode a couple of weeks ago, something to do with a dresser and drawers, and they just give very basic, I don't want to they give instructions that even someone as stupid as me can follow.
Well, you're our target audience.
Yeah, right. I was going to say.
Perfect.
Well, and can I say something, too, that as far as the belly shirts go, Ed was wearing those, and the Learning Channel was just giving them a problem all the time.
Every shirt I wear is automatically a belly shirt.
Here's what I think.
Listen, not to run down a bunch of punk kids who don't know their elbow from third base, but... They seem to put everything together with a hot glue gun and a staple gun. And let me tell you, if that stuff doesn't come down in 6 months, then you're living with John Travolta in the plastic bubble.
I want to keep on this line of thought here because I'm curious about shows like Extreme Makeover: Home Edition, where they go in and they knock an entire house out in a week's time. Is that doable and to maintain the quality? Or you disagree? You don't think it is?
It's television,
right?
Those people are to Home Improvement what Avril Lavigne is to Home Improvement.
Lavigne.
Avril Lavigne. I have no idea.
It's Lavigne.
I watch her belly. I have no idea what's coming out of her.
It's Lavigne. Ed, it's Lavigne. I didn't know she was Jewish, though.
She's complicated, though.
Lavigne.
Yeah. Avril Lavigne.
So you really think it's the stuff that they're building, it looks so darn good on TV, but you think it's like a Hollywood set that it's just going to fall apart?
Well, of course it is. It's television. I hate to burst people's bubbles, but, you know, when they script things like that, they script exactly what's going to happen and what's going to work and what's going to be horrible to the homeowners.
They have real workers behind the scenes that don't wear belly shirts that come in and fix everything.
Yeah, and well,
unlike our show where we do all the work ourselves.
Yeah, and sometimes, and even though the show is obviously taped and edited, it'll take one of you, I don't remember which one of you it was, either Joe or Ed, obviously.
It was
me
if it was good.
One of you was doing a job that I considered like even a mongoloid could do, but you were taking an incredible amount of time to do whatever it was to with a hammer to pull something apart. And what's great is the other guy, I don't remember which one, basically says, "Hey, come on, you schmuck, how long is it going to take you?"
That was me telling Ed.
How long is it going to take you to ply that piece of molding or whatever it is away from it? And you don't see that on the other shows.
Well, no. Because the other shows, the hosts don't have anything intelligent or witty to say while the action goes on. So it's all action. We like to slow down the action for two reasons. One, so everybody can follow along. And two, so the other one can talk about whatever they feel like. See, there is a method.
Now, obviously, you have a partnership. One guy has one area of specialty, the other guy. Joe, what is your favorite element of the furniture business? What do you like dealing with the most? Well, you know, when you're finishing something or taking care of something, what do you enjoy the most?
I enjoy the wonderful, relaxing, thirsty cocktail.
All right, so Joe likes drinking.
that's what I enjoy the most.
And what about you, Ed?
I like women customers.
No, but
that's the big difference between those two guys.
In all seriousness, I do enjoy working on the furniture. I wish I had to do it only on television because it's a lot easier on television. We do have people that work for us as well when we're doing the shows because the shows are...
Just setting up the plates with the donuts on what we like to call the craft service.
That's a great tough part, too.
So how much work do you guys off the TV show? How much furniture work do you do in real life?
Well, I've been doing some real restoration work on some, believe it or not, bars. Bars and restaurant interiors. And I do those in the Philadelphia area for a company that, one of the largest sellers of bars and back bars in the East Coast.
He picks and chooses.
Oh, very good.
When they want a $1 million bar to go into some rich guy's house, they send for Joe, and he just hangs around the house for a while.
do you find that you guys still have, I don't want to call you cult favorites.
Yes.
You're not mainstream, but...
Like the Manson cult.
Yeah, but you know, and listen, he wasn't that bad, was he?
He never killed anybody. He never killed anybody.
Never himself.
He just ordered them to.
He never killed anybody.
But we still do have a very big following of people that see us on the street. Some people run after us with the news.
Following me right now. Outside my house every night with a pair of binoculars and a Plymouth Reliant.
I know that your show happens to be on the same time as another show that maybe you've heard of called CSI. So what I do is I TiVo your show.
Yeah.
And it's a way that my wife and I can find something that interests both of us. Your show really is the only thing that I can find that is home improvement related, that I can find a reason to watch. I watch Trading Places, like I say, because that Paige Davis, forget it.
But I'll tell you why. You have the same reaction from a lot of people who say the same thing. Our show is the only show they like to watch. The reason is, Ed and I have both worked in the construction business and the upholstery trades and the finishing trade, so we actually know what we're doing, and we set up all of the projects.
And I teach the history of furniture at a lot of colleges in Philadelphia, University of Pennsylvania, and art colleges, so I know all the history about furniture.
Well, since you know that, I'm going to ask you a serious furniture question. Yeah. What was the best time for furniture in the United States of America? When was the best time? When was the quality at its absolute best?
It wasn't last Tuesday, let me tell you.
Yeah. Then it wasn't.
Because now everything is made with MDF, or it's made with a flake board, which is held together with formaldehyde glue. So if you try and burn it, it gives off a lovely gaseous array of spectral flames, but you'll die.
Let's just say I pity the future generations who won't have any antiques to go trash pick, because most of the furniture is stapled together.
And it'll fall apart.
From the 1760s through the 1830s, before the Industrial Revolution, when
wow,
started
that
making
far back.
Factory,
wow.
But after, you know, the craftspeople had come here and were starting to be born here rather than just being English craftsmen. Now, Thomas Chippendale never came to America, but his designs were made in America, in Philadelphia.
And his dancers are fantastic.
Yeah, they were the best. He kept them a secret.
By guys like Thomas Affleck, who is great-great-great-great-grandfather to Boy Toy Ben.
Ah.
And my favorite, Hercules Courtney. Is that a great name for him?
Wow. Hercules.
That's incredible.
So Goddard and Townsend out of Newport, Rhode Island, made fabulous things. These are things you can't even buy anymore. You know, they're in.
So why talk about them?
Okay.
Here's a real furniture
private
question.
Book.
And I know they say that it's because of quality and everything else, but why is it, generally speaking, you go to a retail outlet, and let's say there's a desk you like.
Yeah.
And you go, great, I'll take it. They go, fine, come back. And then they say, we'll have it for you within 12 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, what is the deal with that, guys?
I mean, how long does it take? Because I watch you guys on this show.
Why does furniture take so long to get there?
And it's the last time you went into a McDonald's and ordered a burger and got it right away and got to leave within 2 minutes.
Well, certainly not the ones
down
the street.
They want your money, pay first, and then they'll make you wait.
The reason is there are so many different lines of furniture. There isn't just one style anymore.
I like
it
better.
A lot of furniture makers make a half a dozen to a dozen different lines of furniture. They can't keep the factories up making all the different pieces. So they let orders accrue, and then they run off a bunch. So while it isn't custom made, they are waiting for orders to accrue because, part of that is because people want choice.
And guys, let me ask you a question. Is your show affiliated, your TV or anything, with either of the major home improvement chains?
No,
but we would love that, wouldn't we?
Let me ask you.
Actually, we're working on something right now.
Don't mention any names, because if the other ones want us, let them call them.
Oh, because that's what I wanted to know. Would you recommend... Well, and you probably won't because you got a deal.
Would you recommend get them a Home Depot
is,
or a Lowe's?
Yeah, the orange or blue, which is bad.
We love them both. We love everybody.
You know, the Home Depot goes back to Roman times. It used to be called the Homus Depotus.
Right. Bobus Velus.
Biggest jerkus.
In today's world, is it possible, guys, to find people in, I will say, metropolitan areas or anywhere that still do it the old-fashioned way, and you can go in and get an incredible piece of furniture that's not going to break the bank? Can you actually find people to do that?
Without question, absolutely.
Really?
Not only in metropolitan areas, but there are country craftspeople all over the place. Every year in Philadelphia and most other big cities, they have the furniture show made by craftspeople. Right. And those are and I've seen the booths. There are like 300-400 booths, and they're from Maine to California, every part of the country. And not only are there craftspeople, old world craftspeople, many of them 70, 80, 90 in places like Philadelphia, and I'm sure down there, but out in the middle of the country, there are young people growing up. I mean, you want to compare them to organic farmers or something like that. There are people who learn the trade, make things carefully, solid wood. Is it cheap? No. But you're certainly getting quality, and you're not getting flake board.
Here's what I don't get about it. You guys must have the worst agent in the world, because there is such a boom.
We have Martin Borman's agent. Martin Borman had this guy, and you never heard Martin Borman again.
No.
Marty Borman, yeah, he was a nice guy.
There is such a glut of these shows now, and the hosts are all like Ryan Seacrest, and you guys are individual. You obviously are your own guys. I would love to see you get into a mainstream type format where people could watch and see something that doesn't seem to be either, like Mike said, with that Sunday night show,
right?
Impossible. The house will fall down when they leave.
Sure.
Or goddamn know-it-all Bob Vila, who goes through things so friggin' fast.
He is a punk.
Can I say, if anyone's out there listening, that we're available.
We will work for food.
Wow.
We're available. We still have the act. We're still working on a couple things. We're working on some books, and we'll be out there.
Why not get some intelligent, erudite, and quite butch furniture guys or how-to improvement? Hey, and by the way, we'd love to be on the radio because you don't have to wear pants.
Right.
I'm on the toilet right now, as a matter of fact.
All right,
we are talking, even though we're straight, and there's been a lot of talk about that.
Yes,
we're excited to come. We're talking to the big gay radio network, Queer Channel.
Right. That's okay. It's a competition. You can say that.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a very personal question. Say if you knew somebody that bought a really old house, which I just did, if you bought an old house, what is the one thing that I want to look for, when I'm going through this house before I move in? An old broad.
Money. Broad in there. Get it out of there.
I mean,
bring in the trophy wife, buddy.
is it foundation? No, I'll never do that again. Is it foundation?
Well, at least you're now admitting.
Like a Mike, isn't it?
Hold on. This is like Mike has just finally turned on the light.
Oh, my epiphany, yes. Never married again. No way. What do you look for in an old house? I mean, I'm a little worried about it because, I mean, it's a beautiful house, but I don't know what to look for in an old house.
Well, first you get the contractor in there and you make them look and make sure that this foundation is still intact.
That's
water.
Good. Right.
And your joists are all okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for dampness. It's exactly the exact opposite of a woman. You don't want the house to be damp at all.
Okay, very good.
No matter how far down you go.
All right.
Is that wacky enough?
I think I'm okay.
Okay.
All
right.
Enough said.
Furniture
guys. Can we have a radio show now?
Yeah, you can have a radio show.
I wish you did. I really wish you did. Furniture Guys, Joe and Ed. Now, go to the website, furnitureguys.com, or watch them. Now, again, this is convoluted.
Yes.
Thursday night on DirecTV, Channel 286, Discovery Home Channel.
I can't even get it on my television. But I don't care.
Home and Leisure Channel.
Watch their show, Men in Tool Belts.
And if you want to see us on the computer, go on to ironshop.com. There's a link from our website. You can actually see us building a spiral staircase. That's what these people make.
Oh, cool. Wonderful.
If you miss it because of the debate or CSI, it does repeat throughout the night. So you can check it out.
CSI, supermodel forensic pathologist. Love it.
Joe and Ed, will talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Those are guys we always dig having on the show. And really, I don't know why TLC or one of those other cockamamie channels has not hired them.
You're right.
Yeah, they
I was thinking when we were talking to them, they probably wouldn't have any of it. Well, they'd do anything. You could bring them in to some of the existing shows that are out there, the home improvement shows now.
Yeah.
And I think they would be a welcome addition.
You know what Joe and Ed are? Really, I've watched them for a very long time. They are the Penn and Teller of furniture.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they both talk.
And that makes Vila like David Copperfield.
And you know what they'd be good at? On Trading Places. Now, you've already got I don't mind the fat gay guy, the designer guy.
Oh, him.
The guy who loves sitting Indian style.
Right.
And he paints on walls.
He's okay. And I guess it's the other guy that I hate.
Vern?
No, not the Chinaman.
The tall New Yorkie guy?
Yeah, the guy that's got the slick back. See?
Doug!
Hi, my name is Don, and I'm a faggot. I watch Trading Spaces.
Nothing wrong with that, Don.
Rob, could you isolate that, please, at some point? Yeah. I might have use for that.
Let me just... Oh, never mind. You're still losing the bet. Anyway,
what's the score of the Yankees game?
They're good. Oh, FurnitureGuys.com. Got a Yankee score for us. As Mike continues to wait, to confess... To concess, as Mike waits to concess, for his concession speech.
My concession speech.
When are you going to concess, Mike?
I will concess when it happens. I can't, if they win both games today of the doubleheader, then I will, if the Yankees do, I will concede, but I will concede tomorrow.
You'll concess?
But if they split and the Red Sox win again tonight, I don't concede yet.
Bottom of the fifth, Minnesota 3, New York 1.
So that's good for you. So far, so good.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Right, no concessing today.
No concessing.
Listen, thank you, Furniture Guys. They mentioned that tomorrow night, oh boy, that's a bad time for any TV show to be on when the debate is on.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to, as a public service, over the next 2 days before the debate, today and tomorrow, we're going to give each of the candidates a chance to warm up here via satellite.
That's
and
smart.
I think today we're going to, it's W first.
Right.
Uh-huh. And we're going to give him some sample questions and see how he handles the pressure.
Yeah, because he's got to prep himself for the big debate on Thursday night.
Live from wherever it is that he is. So we'll do that when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We're concerned about AIDS inside our White House. Make no mistake about it.
The Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting from the right side of the dirt. Yeah. The Don and Mike Show.
And let me tell you that on tomorrow's episode... something to do with The Apprentice. I don't want to give it away now.
Okay.
It's something good, and it ain't going to be the person who gets kicked off tonight.
Okay.
So if you watch The Apprentice tonight, I guess a lot of people will because it'll be on tonight instead of tomorrow night.
Right.
We'll have something on that on tomorrow's episode.
Excellent.
Plus tomorrow, I understand. Now, there was a lady, the singing psychic, that we had on the show.
She had a very petite voice.
Like 15 years ago, and for a while she was exclusive on our show, then she was discovered.
Right.
And the next thing you know, it's like every DJ in the world's using her.
Right.
Hello, yes, meow, meow.
So we have a new singing psychic.
A brand new lady?
Yes, only that.
Is it a lady or a man?
It's a lady.
Uh-huh.
And she has channeled brand new music from Irving Berlin, George M. Cohan, and Walt Disney.
Fantastic. And Walt Disney's got some crazy ideas.
Oh, yeah, he's got a new character.
He sure does.
Oh, good.
Also tomorrow, the return of Donnie's Naked Cruelty.
Oh, wow.
So get ready for that. Oh, I have to read this right now. Friday, Pick the Pros with Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. Rich will be sponsored by TowerRecordsTower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love.
Mm-hmm.
The Tower, the NFL Network. Light on the tower. Be watching Rich Eisen weeknights at 7 and 10 on Total Access on the NFL Network. More information, go to NFL.com.
Very good. We'll edit that.
Having said all of that, the debates are on tomorrow night. I guess Buzz will have news on this in the news coming up. We'll be discussing it tomorrow. You know which side of the fence we're on, but unlike Fox, we, goddammit, are fair and balanced. We will have both candidates on before the debate. Now let's go via secret remote microphone. We're not really sure exactly where President Bush is.
No,
I think Kerry's in Wisconsin. And Buzz, where is Bush? Is he in Texas still?
I don't see his whereabouts mentioned here, just that they're both rehearsing.
Come in, George.
I don't want to put the words on the page.
W?
Yeah, just kind of, you know, all right, Fallujah. Falut.
Oh, he's trying to say Fallujah. Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah,
W?
Donnie?
Hey, W?
How are you, son?
How are you?
I'm working hard on my debate strategies, and my debatory skills will be rich with facts.
Uh-huh. Now,
for example, each year I eat 30 pounds of cheese.
I've been listening to your show. How are you?
Where are you? Can you tell us where you are?
I'm at a secret, undisclosed location in preparation for my debate. I'm working on difficult concepts and words that I will use against my opponent. Hey. Have you noticed I'm not referring to him by name? My opponent
That's what I was told by my campaign advisors, will cause him to be diminished in the eyes of the American populace.
Do you want a joke?
Fallujah. I'm having trouble with that. Fallujah.
Fallujah.
What'd you say?
Fallujah.
Fallujah.
You want a joke?
Yeah, I like a joke.
Oh, good. Tomorrow night when you get out there.
Yeah.
Say to everybody.
Sure.
You are the master debater.
I am the master.
I like that.
Yeah. I can't talk like that. Reminds me of my days when I party. Yeah. Oh, man. My debatation will not unfurl my chance of victoriation. I am truly enamored with the chance of overwhelming landslidation. It's good to hear you. I'm just trying to get the concepts.
The big words.
The concepts and the big words, the difficult words that I may have to rely on when challenged. But the tall man. That's what I am doing right now.
Let's
Zarqawi. I've had trouble getting my terrorists straight, you see.
Hey, here's how we're going to do this.
Yeah, I understand.
You love chalupas, right?
I love chalupa, man. Don't drop the chalupa.
Isn't chalupa kind of like Fallujah?
Yeah, but where are you going with this?
Doesn't it kind of sound like?
Yeah, but what if I got up there and I said, we will be soon pulling our troops out of Chalupa?
Yeah.
That was the press would seize on that, and they're already out to get me. And I'd just like to say, Dan Rather, watch your back. Man, oh man, you tried to get me, but you couldn't. I'll tell you that right now. Words are allies. My tonsils will dance like a $40 stripper. I am truly enamored with the American people and looking forward to my chance to speak to them one-on-one in a variety of formats for the debatory skills. It should be a good, good time with my opponent and me.
May I ask you a question?
I am prepared for any of your questions.
You may be
studying. I have been studying my debate skills. I will sit back in my Texas easy chair. Oh, I believe I have revealed my secret location.
That would be a shock if you were in Crawford.
I'm in Crawford.
You never go there.
I love Crawford. Man, Crawford's nice. You know what I like about Crawford?
What?
It's flat. None of them pesky mountains to worry about.
Right.
You just enjoy yourself, and I went out today and I pulled up about 40 bushes. And I'm not talking about family members. I'm talking about shrubs. I love doing that. That relaxes me. When I can take a living tree and pull it out of the ground by the roots, it gives me a sense of full
fulfillment.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, now what
sounds good to me?
What's that sound that sounds like chalupa?
That'd be Fallujah.
There you go.
Working.
Yeah. Would that all of the Iraqi cities would have Taco Bell names? Man, that would be so wonderful for me.
Here is the.
But there is no Iraqi city called Chimichanga, is there, son?
There is no.
Oh, it's good. But, you know, it's very difficult for me to work on these issues when I don't have my main man, you know, Bad Heart Boy.
Oh, Cheney.
Yeah, he normally helps me with this. The networks are up in arms about the debatation rules.
Uh-huh.
The format will follow this guide. Talk, wait, repeat. I have studied this, I am prepared.
It sounds to me like they gave you those. It sounds like on the bottle of
shampoo.
Yeah. It's rinse. Wash, rinse, repeat.
We started with basic rules. I have the booklet in front of me that, I don't know where the hell that is around here.
The rule book?
Man.
They gave you a debate rule book?
They need that.
Check under that. I got a secret for a service guy.
Okay.
Check under that pizza. Yeah, check under the pizza. That's good. There you go. Yeah, the rules. You know, the ones that they want me to do to, first of all, no name calling, no profanity, no fisty cuff action, none of that kind of stuff. And then do not invade the other person's space.
Yeah.
It's essential to stay around your podiums. And we had an issue with the podium height, so as I do not look elfin-like.
Well, because you're short.
My Herman Monster opponent over there.
Human Monster.
Human Monster, yeah. Mr. Eek the Geek.
You're kind of short and he's kind of tall.
I said that to one of my campaign advisors. I said, what if I was to refer to him as Lurch from the Monsters? And they said that would not be funny. You cannot do personal attacks. I said, personal attacks are fun, son. That's what we based our whole thing. And can I just say to the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, amen, brother. Thanks for getting down in the mud and not letting your president have to sully himself.
I think that Lurch was on the Addams Family.
I got all the rules right here.
It's true.
I'll go right down to rule number 5.
Not on the Monsters.
Yeah. Check fly. Rule number six.
This is your checklist now. Okay, check fly.
Number 6. This is right before we go on. Okay. Check for drip spot. And number 7, no mustard on cheek or chin.
Yeah.
Rule number 8, do not eat pretzels prior to
the day. Yeah, right. I was going to ask if there's anything pretzel related.
Rule number 9, Do not eat any salty snacks that could lodge in your throat prior to the debate. It will appear that you are a weak president.
Now, when are you allowed to have your last drink before the debate?
I have made arrangements that I will not be able to take any of my special juice out on the stage with me at the debate, but prior to the debate, 15 minutes or so, I will be able to have a toddy that will make me calm and relaxed when I face the nation's cameras.
How many toddies do you think you'll have tomorrow?
16 or 17 prior to that.
Well,
number 10, do a good job, and Cheney takes me to TGI Fridays. Wow. I'm excited about that. Have you been to TGI Fridays?
Oh, I have.
What do you know which I like better, TGI Fridays or the Olive Garden?
Well,
you know, you get as much pasta as you can eat.
I know.
You like pasta?
The Olive Garden's got the endless breadsticks, right?
Man. Well, the breadsticks don't matter. I'm not big into them, but I love that pasta. Now, man, I can eat noodles all day. I can eat noodles till the sun comes up.
Tomorrow. Fantastic.
I love TGIF. They got saxophones on the wall.
Crazy. Will Cheney be giving you the answers in an earpiece or anything tomorrow?
Yeah, you ever see that movie, Runaway Jury?
Yeah.
You know that one where he's got the little band-aid behind his ear?
I've seen it on HBO.
Yeah, I've seen that one a couple of times, and that's what I will have. I will have a control center feeding me the proper answers. And if it does not work, I will be a fish that is dead in the water. I will be like ducks on a lake.
Now, haven't they given you some type of emergency answers in case this this electronic device goes down?
Well, I'll tell you, son, I've talked them into it. My campaign advisors have talked them into doing exactly what I said. The simple way. The way I got through Yale. And that's what, taking tiny little handwriting and a big pen, putting it right on the palm of my hand.
Your hand.
Nobody sees it on TV.
Well, what if you get sweaty?
And that Bob Schieffer guy, he's too old. He's about in the casket anyway. He's not going to be able to tell that. My earpiece lets me hear Cheney and listen to the ball game at the same time.
Really?
I'm very exciting about that. Very exciting.
Now, what is one of your emergency answers if someone, for instance, asks you a question about the war on terror?
First of all, when I prepare for a debate, it's important to point out, I have only 5 standard lines that if I get in trouble, I can refer to.
Right,
I have committed them all to memorize.
All right, these are your emergency audibles. What are they?
If you present me with a difficult situation.
All right,
give me anything and I know what to come back with.
How would you answer the parents who have lost children in that war in Iraq?
Number one, the nation is strong. We are safer today than we were before. All right, that's the first one. Give me another one.
I'll give you another one. What would you say to those who say that you've got Osama bin Laden in a hotel room somewhere on the south of France waiting to bring him out on November 1st?
I do not listen to my critics. I remain resolute, and I remain your president. It is more important to me to lead this nation than to engage in silly chit-chat. I love that one. That's number 2. Rule number 14, be sure to extinguish candles before eating any birthday cake so as not to burn your mouth. That could be a very painful experience. I will tell you, I know from experience. There was this one piece of yellow that Mama made, and it was chocolate with yellow.
Mama?
Oh, man. Yeah. I tell you, it was yellow cake and chocolate icing. And there was a tiny candle, and I bit into the chocolate cake prior to it. It was those funny candles that they get me for every birthday.
Oh, the blowout and they relight?
I can't for the life of me figure out how those work.
You know what that is? That's American technology. Or is that technology that we've, again, sent out of the country?
I got my American Army knife. And I feel that back. I had one of those red ones with a cross on it, but they said that was Swiss. I said, you give me an American Army knife. And I carved away the plastic on that candle, or is it wax? I'm not sure. But I tried to get down to the string that lights, that makes the thing go.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out how those things go and go and go. But I burned the hell out of my mouth. Worse than when I bit into that piece of pizza the other day. Do you know, when you have the sauce that's underneath that hot cheese, it gets as hot as lava. It's nasty stuff. Rule number 16, avoid licking any 9-volt battery. That can cause a whale of a nasty feeling on your tongue.
Well, now, I know that that's a nervous, nasty habit that you have. You enjoy licking batteries.
Right. When spitting out your gum, do not try to pull it out of the light socket with a fork.
Yeah.
You might subject yourself to electrical shock.
Now, has anybody talked to you about if you've got something between your teeth? Because I know you're going to drink before the debate. Mm-hmm. You're also going to eat. You're going to have some good down south, some Texas barbecue.
I'm going to say something to you, Don.
Yeah.
I would like to commend you on your journalistic accuracy. I would like to tell you that...
Hey, good!
Yeah, your journalistic accuracy.
Good for you!
You have stumbled...
Can you spell accuracy?
You have stumbled on the president's Achilles heel. You have found my Achilles heel. My Achilles heel is the fact that I have sorely neglected my mouth during the course of my presidency.
Ooh.
I do not like the dentist. I like pain-free dentistry, but unfortunately I cannot receive any of the medications that I got prior to being in the White House because I cannot do that when I am president. They said, that's the rules. I said, screw the rules. Give me the happy laughing gas.
Here's another question you're going to get.
Rule number 17, do not floss no more with an electric circular saw.
Here's another tough question.
Yes, fire away.
What about Medicare? What about medications for our senior citizens and a Social Security trust that is dwindling, that people, they're having to make the choice now, am I going to buy bologna to eat, or am I going to buy the pills that are going to make it so I don't die?
I don't have a specific one for that. I got to go to the generic one that they said.
All right, you got a generic
one? Here it is. Okay. Number five. That's number five. Well, what about it? What do you think about that one?
Good one.
Well, what about it? And then I rub my eyebrow. And it makes him look dumb. Well, what about it, silly guy?
Now, no,
and then I look at the camera. I said, can I look at the camera and put my arms out wide and go, well, what about it? But they said, I can't do that.
You
my advisors
know.
Are trying to put pills in my bologna sandwich. So I will relax and I will win the debate and get my teeth scraped at the same time. I am looking forward to all these things. Well, what about it?
Now, you want a joke? A real joke?
A joke to lighten up the festivities.
Yes.
This is a joke.
That was good.
Rob had this joke. We were playing Make Us Laugh a couple weeks ago. Nobody could. This joke really kills.
All right, fire away.
Guy walks into a bar.
Yeah.
Says, I can screw any woman in this bar. You name her. You point her out. Everybody says, impossible. How could that be? Guy says, easy. I'm a rapist.
He likes it.
Oh, my God.
See? That'd go great down at the fraternity house.
Yeah.
Man, I might just open with that.
I mean, I know... Listen,
I better tell Carl Rove about that one.
It's
damn funny.
It's a joke. It's a joke of questionable quality.
Well, what about it?
There you go.
That was from your ad-lib sheet, right?
The other one I could use. There are a bunch of them that I memorized, committed to memory. Well, what about it, John? That's what I personalize it to.
Yeah.
Well, what about it, Senator Kerry? Well, what about it, opponent? Well, what about it? I think that'll work real well. And,
another
one I'm going to use is the one from a movie I saw. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, that was...
I think you're wrong.
Oh, that's like the Best in Show movie?
Right.
That I don't think so.
And here's another one. I came up on my own. I wrote this one down.
Okay.
Being right doesn't make you smarter. What do you think of that?
That's
rule number 26. Do not confuse gasoline with visine. It makes my eyes too red.
Well, they both end with I-N-E, don't
That's
they?
Right. Yeah. Well, what about it? There you go. Being right doesn't make you smart. That's another one I'm going to use. Bob Schieffer, you look marvelous. I'm going to say that one, too.
Good.
Looking forward to all that stuff. Yes, sir. Don't forget to check out my old buddy Bill O'Reilly. Man, oh, man. He was camping in Butt Bush.
Yeah, he
sure was.
He was. He had the penthouse suite.
He did indeed.
At Anal Acres, doesn't he?
I was assured that he would not make any questions too difficult for me to understand.
Good.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden.
Is it true they use puppets?
He found a way to bring good
puppets to practice?
Yeah,
John Kerry puppet.
He made it up.
Now, was it like a sock puppet or what?
Nah, it's a big, ugly, long puppet. It kind of looked like Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. He's like, oh, Mr. President. Made me laugh. I couldn't get through the first day because I was cracking up so much because they were doing it. Disney built it for me.
The puppet.
They're a big donor.
Buzz?
Yes.
What is your lead story?
Well, how about you, Buzz?
Hey,
wasn't bad, huh?
President Bush, how are you?
Good to see
you,
sir. Comments. Oh, we're about to lose this.
All right, I got to go back to working on it. Fallujah.
Remember, Fallujah. It rhymes with what?
Chalupa. Y'all take care.
You've helped
okay.
us.
It's almost barbecue time.
See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye. I need some pretzels.
There he is, live from wherever he is.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow, because we are fair and balanced,
yes.
we'll have John Kerry.
Well, that is fair.
And John Kerry, I understand, is practicing with a full PA system.
As always.
Yes.
Buzz,
yes.
What's your lead tonight?
Today, somebody's planning on breaking the rules in tomorrow night's debate.
Okay, that's good and timely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very...
Proficiatimal.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Like I was saying, heck, that's us.
Yes, it is us.
Football season's finally here. Time for tailgating with friends, doing a little grilling, and talking trash with your rivals.
So what if your cell phone is out of commission, Don?
Mike, use OnStar Personal Calling, a cell phone embedded in OnStar equipment via OnStar equipped vehicles.
So if you can't get great reception on your battery, your great reception on your battery is low, and that's what it says. So if you can't get great reception on your battery is low, you can still rub it in after the game. It's nice that this made it all the way to the studio.
OnStar, you're not kidding about that. So if you can't get great reception
on your battery's low,
you can still rub it in after the game.
Work hard.
What are you rubbing, incidentally?
Buy a nice car.
I mean, you're rubbing, what are you rubbing in after the game?
There's no phone to hold, no battery to recharge. So, on your battery's low, get OnStar.
It ain't a hand cream. Go to OnStar.com for a demo. Best commercial ever.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Absolutely.
Goodbye. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, right. Brought to you coast to coast, regionally, with Westwood One. That's our network. Time for Buzz's news and comments now. Buzz is brought to you by Viramax, the world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer. Viramax, number one, it really works.
Someone called for a doctor.
Doctor developed, clinically tested. Viramax, call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. It goes on and on and on. I could keep going.
On and on.
It just goes on. It's Asia. That's a hard one to hit.
Yeah.
That extra little just lip. Just that little piece of skin.
Half a beat.
Just
want to
clip that right off. You know, you ever get that, like, you get like a skin tag or something?
Oh, yeah, I pull them off.
You just pull them off?
With my teeth. Blood, everything.
That's kind of hard if you get one, like, under the...
It's hard to get one in your inner thigh.
Your armpit is what I was thinking.
Nail clippers. That's where I get mine.
That's where I get them. So I do get them sometimes.
I get them. I can show you mine. I get them all over.
Okay, Ken.
Ever have to get one snipped?
I get them snipped all the time.
Yeah. A lot of time the doctor will say to me, either with moles or stuff like that, you know, we got to test to make sure.
Take it off.
Well, please. Of course, because if you don't test it, you don't make no money.
Sure. You ever get a skin tag, Buzz?
Yes, I have, under my arm, as a matter of fact, but I remove it myself.
Why do people get skin tags under the arms? Is it because of the friction?
I don't know.
It's a good question.
Skinny people get them, too. I don't know.
All I know is that one time I actually did say to Dr. Perry, that's the one of the doctors that Buzz's wife works in his office.
Right, Gaylord.
And one time, Gaylord Perry, great spitball pitcher.
Right.
Dr. Perry said to me, I'm going to want to clip one of these skin tags from under your armpit to make sure. And I actually said to him, I'm sure it's not cancerous. And he said, I'm sure too, but we're going to do it. And I said, no, because what I've done is I've actually picked one off and put it in my mouth.
Well, now it is probably
cancerous. I've done that.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's contaminated. And my skin tag says 50% off.
Anyway, I said to the doctor, I chewed it. So I'm sure that if it was cancerous, I would have died already.
Was it like freshen up gum?
It was one of those things. You ever eat
did the doctor say then?
He
said, don't do that.
Yeah. Look, Margaret,
I would think.
He said,
don't do that in the house.
Hey, Billy Bouchard.
Billy Bouchard, you remember. No, Chad Ram hit you with the thing.
No, that was another story, but
that's right.
Billy Bouchard used to do something to his dog that
would feed his dog crayons.
Yeah, feed his dog crayons, and his mom, forget it.
It's
an interesting story.
There are two stories involving kids and dogs that we can't talk about
anymore. Can't do that anymore.
Anyway, Dr. Perry,
yes.
When I told him that I had actually chewed it, then I had to make it like it was a joke.
You didn't really do it.
I don't really chew my scab.
But you really did do it.
Yeah, well, of course I did. I swear to God I did.
And it was rich with the good taste of cancer?
It didn't taste any cancer at all.
Anything?
Didn't taste anything.
Hmm.
Tastes a little minty.
Speaks well of your hygiene.
Buzz?
Yes. Hi.
Anytime.
All right. The rules of a debate, I thought it was fascinating. The rules of a debate are like traffic laws. You try to obey most of them. After all the negotiating just to get the debates to happen, somebody's planning in advance to break some of the rules that were negotiated. That somebody is the media.
The networks say freedom of the press is not open to negotiation. One of the rules bans the TV networks from showing a reaction shot of one candidate while the other is speaking. Admit it. You want to see how one guy's coping and reacting while the other guy talks about certain things.
You know, and let's just keep in mind that we're talking about while the candidates, both of them, don't want these reaction shots.
Mm-hmm.
The networks are obviously going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get, like, at any point, anybody's jaw is going to drop. Because
I always wanted the Chevy Chase kind of reaction shot, you know, where he's mimicking the other guy. Like he used to do on Weekend Update.
But the point is on this, these guys already both know. Mm-hmm. It's like a script that we're going to be watching. They both know what the topics are going to be, the order that they're going to be brought up.
Wouldn't that be delightful, though, if one of the guys was talking and you saw a reaction and the other guy was, like, holding his nose up in a pig way? Just going.
I've seen them roll their eyes and give, you know, subtle reactions.
What if they were doing that thing like you pretend you got a scratch in the middle of your face? You really doing the thing?
I don't think you'll see that.
You're itching like the bridge of your nose.
God, it would be sweet.
See, the networks all share the same cameras, but each network has a director who can see what all the cameras see, and then he decides which picture you might want to see most.
Oh, Buzz, hold on. Let me stop you for a technical question. So they all have their own cameras.
They're all sharing the same group of cameras. This debate, the cameras are being supplied by Fox, along with the camera operator.
So even though it's Fox, so it's whatever decision Fox makes, it's like a pool, right?
No. Yes and no. Fox camera operators will operate Fox cameras, but each network has its own director. Each network gets to see all the pictures that all the cameras see, so each network gets to decide what pictures it might put on at a given moment.
I never knew it was like that. I always thought it was one source that they were all feeding off of.
No, each network prefers to choose its own shots to make itself look different.
Because they're Fox cameras, does that mean they're going to be just showing a shot of Carrie's chest all night long?
Yes, that's all we'll see. they do share the same cameras, they have different directors. There is more, however. Neither ABC's Charlie Gibson nor CBS's Bob Schieffer have signed the agreement that spell out how they will behave as moderators. One of the rules says a moderator who hasn't signed the agreement can be replaced. The Commission on Presidential Debates, which enforces the rules, issued a statement this week saying there will be no departure from the terms.
Hmm.
So that could be interesting. And Texas rancher...
Well, that's interesting, you know. At the last second, you know, we're going to bring in Cal Worthington.
Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
We're trying
now
to get any of those Nimrods. You know. And Charlie Gibson, I mean,
he's lovable,
non-offensive.
Yeah.
He's fine on Good Morning America.
Yeah, but I think he's a good guy for the debate.
You really think that he'll try to ask the tough questions?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Charlie Gibson's perfect. I mean, I really, when I watch that guy, I do get the impression that he's kind of nonpartisan.
I feel that...
He's got a lot of integrity.
That's how I feel about Bob Schieffer.
Same thing about Bob Schieffer.
I think Bob Schieffer is more concerned about the incontinence rules.
Of course.
Than he is about these other rules.
I need a bathroom break.
Well, Texas rancher George W. Bush may have to cancel his newspaper subscription. His hometown newspaper, the Lone Star Iconoclast, today endorsed John Kerry. The paper urged its readers not to vote for a man because of his hometown or political party, but for where he intends to take the country. The paper says Kerry would restore dignity to the country. The paper points to the damage it says Bush has done to Social Security, the economy, and some basic freedoms provided by our founding fathers. By the way, on that subject, the Supreme Court today overturned part of the Patriot Act. The paper also points to what it calls the president's continuing mistakes regarding Iraq.
Now, in Crawford, which is a small... Is this like a penny-saver newspaper, or is this a real newspaper?
No, it's a real newspaper. It's a weekly. It's because it's a small town. They only have 450 subscribers.
Oh, wow.
But so it is like a penny-saver, then, kind of.
But today, they have several million subscribers.
Yeah, they certainly got a little publicity today.
Yeah, it speaks loudly. Now, the paper admits, in fact, it points to the president's continuing mistakes about Iraq. The paper says it, the newspaper, has flip-flopped from its previous position on the war since it turned out, and I quote, "we were duped into following yet another privileged agenda." End quote.
Now, you mentioned something about the Patriot Act. I'm curious about that because I don't know. I'm all for anti-terrorism, but I don't know how many of my rights I feel comfortable being violated so that Big Brother can make sure that Al-Qaeda is not getting over
here. That's why I do believe, reading an article about the, you know, the fact that they can get these explosives on planes right now, that the money ought to be directed towards, you know, keeping our airlines safe and actually, you know, really putting good investigations in, not just randomly taking people to abuse.
What has been taken out or added to the Patriot Act as it is now?
The part that was struck down today gave the FBI the right to go into corporate files, apparently, and to examine corporate records to look, I guess, for traces, ostensibly, for traces of terrorism.
Yeah, let's protect the corporation.
Yes. And so that's the first part that's been struck
down. So Viacom got protected today.
Yes.
There you go.
So, yeah, celebrate.
Sumner Redstone is safe from Al-Qaeda.
Well, he said he would vote for Bush.
Yes, he did. And all of Andy Rooney's old 60-minute scripts are safe.
We're perfectly okay.
Yeah.
But kick anybody's door in you want.
Well, you've got to start somewhere,
right.
I guess. I don't know.
I hope the pilot episode to Clubhouse is also saved.
I'm going to the archives.
Act. Another great CBS show.
What, new surveys show that the American people think CBS was duped and made an honest mistake with its 60-minute story
based on phony
memos. Of course, the American people are also punishing CBS News by watching less. The ratings.
Are you retarded?
For the evening news.
It's not a rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
Ratings for the evening news with Dan Rather have dropped since the story he anchored sank. And CBS has apologized, but none of this is good enough for a Republican from Texas who wants a congressional committee to investigate TV news just as soon as this election's over.
Oh, God.
Joe Barton wants to drag all the network suits up to the Hill and threaten them with probably unconstitutional legislation.
Yeah.
Good music.
The whole witch hunt thing again.
Joe especially hates the TV guys because he says most of them probably didn't start out as real reporters. But Jolton Joe says there ought to be a law, quote, to prevent reporters from infusing their opinions into news reports. Say hello to the new witch hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. And if they keep going with that, we will have the Soviet Union.
Yes.
It'll be great.
We're doing a good job. The old witch hunt isn't even over yet. Many lawmakers... keep it around.
Okay.
Many lawmakers haven't let go of their plan to drastically hike the fines for so-called indecency on radio and TV.
Right.
And now they're attacking it onto a defense spending bill, you know, so they can catch some witches. If they succeed, a broadcaster can be fined up to $3 million a day by an agency created to keep radio signals from banging into each other. We warned you that after banning someone else's idea of indecency, they'd start going after words that aren't indecent, hence the guy who wants to start the hearings investigating TV news.
Oh, boy.
One witch burning at a time, fellas. Please.
Really?
Yeah, and, you know, the whole thing about what is so convoluted about this is that, right, on one hand, what they're saying is we don't want opinions on the news, right? Isn't that what they're saying? That we don't want reporters to get their opinions.
Yeah, don't
opinions.
Your opinions get
right
in there, right?
Right. But that's what... This is a Bush thing, right? Because isn't that what Fox is all about?
Sure.
This is a Republican proposal.
I mean, they'll tell you they're not, but that's exactly what they're about.
Right. I was reading the other day that the lines are clearly drawn out. You got your red states and your blue states. There's no doubt that Fox News is the Bush channel and CNN is the Kerry channel. I wish that CNN would get its act together because one of the reasons...
Yeah, but CNN, I don't believe, is as much the Kerry channel as Fox is the Bush channel.
But here's
right,
what I'm saying. They should go all the way with it.
but they don't have an agenda over there.
But they should get one, for God's sake. And while they're
just to balance things out, I'm inclined to agree with you.
And while you're at it, if you're going to be the Kerry channel, listen. One
there is a Kerry channel. It's called HBO.
One reason I did what?
HBO. The only real partisan show that I watch is that Bill Maher show.
I hate Bill Maher. I hate him so bad.
I know you don't like him.
I really do. The thing about Fox News, I watch it because in a lot of ways, it's like Fox NFL Sunday. I mean, there is something...
Flashy, slicker, right?
There graphics, is something to be said
right,
for music and stuff that goes
bright
across...
colors.
Stuff that goes... Whoosh, across the side, and when you've got 8 million, you got the hurricane in one corner.
Right.
You've got what Bush is doing in the other corner.
Mm-hmm.
I turn on CNN, and it's pretty much always the same thing.
And I don't think the Fox News Channel is necessarily stocking itself with people because they check out their political agendas. I think they hire these people. It just looks like that to me, especially that morning show. And they say, this is the way we want you to be.
However,
I really get that feeling when I watch Fox.
Well, there have been memos in the movie.
There have been, really.
I've got my new favorite guy on Fox News Channel, Shepard Smith. Okay. Now, he's the guy that we have a tape of him saying something about J-Lo, and he speaks, and he says something he shouldn't say.
Right. He kind of looks like Eddie Munster a little bit.
Well, no,
what I've noticed about him is he's got girl eyes.
And he with wears, the eyebrows?
Yes. And he wears, it looks like he wears too much eye makeup.
Shepard Smith.
I can't help it. When you watch this guy on the Fox News channel, and that's why I watch, because first off, he's got that way of speaking that I'm better than you, and I know what you don't know, so right. It's right here on Fox. And then I check out those eyes.
That's true.
And they're not like Harrison Ford when we were talking to Nancy Odell.
Mm-hmm.
Not crazy eyes.
It's just painted on spookiness.
Girl eyes. Yeah. Real girl eyes.
Uh-huh. Even, you're right, because you do gravitate to the Fox News channel. And I, regardless, and I, it drives me crazy sometimes, when I'll jump off of it because I hate their political agenda. But they are the slicker, better produced.
How many times? Have you gone by on DirecTV at channel 360 and you see that Fox News alert
mm-hmm.
and the alert?
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're suckered in.
The alert is something because they come on with all of that.
You're
meanwhile,
on.
I turn on 202 CNN. You know what I get? Donna Mike. hello. Let's go to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, you're right.
You're on with Georgia Fox from CSI.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Sleepy by comparison.
Yeah. Come on. So CNN, if you're going to be the Democrat channel.
But they're not. That's the thing. You're never going to get your wish because they are objective. And you're not.
No, they're not. They're really not. I watch them a lot.
Well, no, I do too. But I mean,
They're not fair. They are definitely Democratic leaning.
I don't think they are nearly as Democratic leaning as the Fox.
No, I would agree with.
The Fox News Channel, it's right in your face, right there.
Listen, okay, on a percentage scale, Fox is 100%. They don't try to hide it. CNN, I think, is about 40%. I think if they just would go another 15 or 20%,
make it a blatant carry channel.
We really need it, though.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, we need it. We need some showbiz.
Right.
We got to pep this up because, frankly, I'm worried about.
I'm the wrong person to ask because you know what you're describing as a pro carry network is me. Looking at a network that I just think is interpreting the facts logically. Yeah. That's really the way I look at it. And I really think I am prejudiced that way, and I really believe when I look at CNN, I'm like, they're just giving it to me the way it is. They're reporting the facts, you know.
They're not.
I really think they are.
No, they're really not. And listen, I'm on your side.
Right.
I'm not trying to pick an argument with you. And it's subjective. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
it's your opinion versus mine. And there could be somebody out there in the car listening saying we're both nuts that we don't know what's going on.
And I will say also the Fox News Channel, there are a lot of times when they give it to you with straight news. But anytime you get any kind of analysis, it always seems like it's leaning one way.
However, here's where the fact that the Fox News Channel has so many good graphics and things that whoosh across the screen.
Uh-huh.
If it's a story that's not political,
right?
If it's like a hurricane,
right?
I'm all over Fox News. I'm all over it because they just make it like a football game. They've got the dramatic music. They've got the logos coming up. They've got
four
or five reporters like in little Fox boxes.
Right.
You know, it's a cool way of doing TV.
And with hurricanes, you know, where you want to avoid is the Weather Channel.
Yeah.
You're no help.
Seriously.
Honest to God. I mean, let's go to Jim Cantore. Yeah, it looks like it's hitting Melbourne, Florida right now. Let's go to Jim Cantore
Storm chaser
in Haiti, you know.
Let's go to Jim Cantore, who needs to introduce himself to a bottle of Rogaine as fast as possible.
I think it may be too late.
And the other thing about the Weather Channel,
right?
Listen, no one loves a pregnant woman more than I do.
I know.
There's
a
certain point, though, when the hotness factor becomes impossible with the woman,
they're drinking fertility juice at the Weather Channel.
They've got like four or five women who are incredibly hot, but always pregnant.
Yes, and I think some of the men are pregnant too.
Always pregnant on the Weather Channel.
I think that hurricane expert is pregnant.
Am I the only one who gets my news from the TV Guide channel? They seem very fair. Very fair.
Weather Channel.
Oh, and speaking of local news, and this is for Washington, D.C., Tracy Neal has finally signed on.
Hey, Channel 9.
And I am sorry, the marriage of her and Gordon Peterson. I mean, if you needed someone to bring into anybody to make him look like he's ready to jump in the casket, it's just not working. You got to take, somebody's got to take like ice water right before the newscast, throw it in Gordon Peterson's face and say, wake up!
Give him some Viagra.
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sake,
he's got a wig.
He's got a real piece of ass sitting next to him. I mean, you would think that.
It's the energy. I mean, she comes over, she looks like $1 million. Yes. She's from the Fox station. She's looking so wonderfully Hollywood.
And he's ready to be embalmed.
And he just looks like one of those guys on the McLaughlin Report.
Haven't they paired her? Maybe it's just on one of the newscasts with a young buck, though.
Yeah, Todd somebody.
Hi, I'm Todd somebody.
Todd somebody.
Yeah, it's just kind of advertising that that Gordon is from the day.
Yeah.
It really, really is sad.
She can do it by herself.
Thank God J.C. Hayward still has her job and her wig office.
You know what? She could give a wig that she doesn't use as much to Gordon Peterson. And then it's a win-win.
That's a brilliant idea.
Now we're totally off track. Buzz,
up next.
See what you've started, Buzz.
Yes, I know.
You start these conversations.
I can't help myself.
Look at where we are now. What's next, Buzz?
Up next. Song swappers may be going to prison.
Oh, you mean like downloading stuff?
That's right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Damn. It's tight.
Smoother than Bacardi Limon.
Yeah, it is.
Don and Mike.
Bacardi Limon.
Ooh, that's right. Buzz.
Hi. Tight and smooth.
What's new, Buzz?
Swapping songs with other people on the internet could soon be a real crime. Here in Washington, the House passed a bill yesterday that would allow criminal charges to be brought against people who sign on to file-sharing networks or websites.
Yeah. Charges in the House!
Should be. Lock them up, I say.
The law is especially aimed at people who make their music collections available on the internet.
Yeah.
Backers of the law say it closes a loophole that tied the hands of prosecutors.
Yeah, lock them up. Critics say what I say, lock them up, every last one of them.
Hi, Granny.
Yeah. Lock them up, especially if they're loving Granny like I do. Love Granny.
Granny.
I see fish.
Granny? Granny?
Yeah, I see fish.
Let's see that iPod, Granny.
Critics of the new law say file sharing is a technology genie that cannot be put back into the bottle by putting people behind bars.
You can put anything back into a bottle, especially Granny's love potion.
Granny.
Granny.
Hello, Granny.
With the drunken anger of 15 years ago had finally started to fade.
I got hiccups.
People had finally gotten used to the fact that Jack Daniels had watered down its whiskey, changing a recipe that's 138 years old.
I'll drink to that.
15 years ago, the distillers cut the alcohol from 90 proof to 86 proof. And that's what we heard.
Oh.
An uproar filled with slurred speech went up across the land.
That's just not true, bud.
Now, the company says it's cutting the alcohol again, this time from 86 proof down to 80.
What do you mean?
I'll explain, Mike. 80 proof still means 40% alcohol, but dag nabbit, it used to be 50%, which means the words of outrage this time will be a little easier to understand.
Come on!
Huh?
Put it back in!
You know how smaller storms spin off of hurricanes? The storm still swirling in Florida after four hurricanes in 6 weeks are tropical storms Wife Beater and Husband Shooter.
Uh-oh.
Well, hold on. Well, first with Wife Beater.
You may have heard about the increase in domestic violence in Florida since the first hurricane hit this season. In some cases...
That's right.
Some cases the house is unusable or just doesn't have a hot shower or electricity to run a TV set to keep the kids occupied since school's been canceled and maybe the income's dried up because work's been canceled too. Tempers flare. The American Red Cross, Salvation Army, and others are doing what they can to counsel people, but they know what they're up against. After Hurricane Andrew in 92, the divorce rate in Dade County went up 30%, but only after a 50% rise in domestic violence. Right now, 1.5 million Floridians still don't have electricity.
Rob Spiewak!
Prison shocker.
Okay.
Martha Stewart isn't getting either of her wishes about which prison she'll occupy for the next month.
Now, she wanted to go either to where?
Danbury, Connecticut.
Or Florida?
Second choice, Coleman, Florida. There was room at the inn. There was room at Danbury, and it would be close. Her grandmother could visit. Normally, the Bureau of Prisons puts you in a prison within 500 miles of your home so people can visit.
Martha's granny.
No, instead, they're sending Martha to a prison in Alderson, West Virginia, that mostly houses drug offenders. A thousand of them.
Drug offenders?
Yes, 1,000 of them.
Wow.
She's been ordered to report by 2 p.m. on Friday, October 8th.
Well, she won't be able to see her granny.
Granny.
Now, this is interesting. West Virginia prisons are among the breeding grounds for a mysterious bacteria that's prompted officials to put out a mysterious warning. Here's what we know so far. This staph infection is resistant to some antibiotics. It's normally found in extremely ill hospital patients.
You're not trying to alarm anybody here, are you?
Oh, of course not. Mm-hmm. That's the last thing I want to do.
Right.
But I have to tell you that last year, West Virginia health officials found it in prisons, this bacteria, and...
The only thing I worry about is dying.
Rightly so, Larry. And they found the bacteria in prisons, and they also in what they describe as a close-knit social group in Calhoun County.
I read the obituaries every day. Look at the ages of the people that died.
Don't know what that means.
Close-knit
social group. See, it's all very mysterious.
The Todd Hughes Calhoun, virus.
Calhoun County. Now the virus, or the bacteria, rather, has turned up in some high school locker rooms, striking entire teams of players.
Oh, boy.
Quoting one official, I am very concerned. I don't want people to focus on a school. That
Do
would
I think
be...
We do too much.
Quoting the official, that would be inappropriately stigmatizing these kids.
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
Wonder what kind of bacteria it is.
Yeah, you have to wonder, don't you? In sports.
You know what kind, Larry?
Yes.
Oh, he does.
Where did you find the bacteria, Larry? Where was it?
New York. My hometown, New York.
Okay.
Who'd you catch it from?
Hands down, Michael Jackson.
No. Oh, but it was Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
In sports, baseball is officially returning.
That's the one we were waiting for.
That's right. Baseball is officially returning to the nation's capital. Commissioner Bud Selig announced
today. Let's give that a round of applause. Why not?
Yeah, and the National League. It's about time.
But yeah, I'm looking forward for the first time to be rooting for a National League team. I'm excited about that.
Bud announced today that the Montreal Expos will play in Washington, D.C. next year.
How would you feel about the Senators? Why not the Senators? Isn't that what it should be, the Washington Senators?
Absolutely.
They're not going to do it, though, are they?
The closest name will probably be the Nationals.
The Nationals?
The Nationals.
The Senators used to be, right?
Yeah, but the Nats. I heard flying for them.
I heard Presidents, and then I also heard Warriors.
Yeah. Yuck.
Just
listen, please,
and don't open it up to a contest.
I was going
to
say, don't open it up to George Michael on Channel 4. because that's how we ended up with the stupid Washington Wizards name.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Bullets.
Whatever they do, though, frisk these players. They're from Canada.
And I was just looking at DCRTV.com.
Uh-huh.
You know that guy Dave Hughes normally puts up some pretty solid stuff?
Right.
It says Infinity Broadcasting is looking to buy the rights of this baseball team and put them on this station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. They're going to preempt the programming on this station for friggin' baseball.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Not a chance.
The district's been without a meeting.
Oh, Dave?
Click, 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 click.
You got that one wrong, dude. I mean, you got it right about Goldie getting fired, though.
Yeah, and good luck to Goldie.
He's
a good guy, and I hope he lands on his feet.
Mike, I agree. There's a station here in town that just had a bloodbath, Oldies 100. Mm. You know, it certainly couldn't be the bad music the station played.
No.
And you can't blame the disc jockeys, because all they were allowed to do was read dumb cards.
Sure you can.
But they just blew out a whole bunch of people, including Goldie. And Goldie was the guy who he roughly based Yallin FM on.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
Hey! Goldie and Tim!
Yeah, and I went to school with Goldie, and he's a good guy, and you've known him for almost as long as I have, and he's a good guy, and you're thinking right now of that little Giants helmet, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm thinking about one special.
Did you see that picture of Goldie?
Yes, I did.
Almost unrecognizable now.
Not the Goldie that I knew.
No.
Answering the door at 4 a.m. wearing his little 3-year-old Giants helmet.
Finally.
Oh, we gotta fly, Buzz.
Our sicko of the month hails from England. David Truscott is accused of finding sexual bliss by covering himself with manure and setting stuff on fire.
Oh.
He terrorized the Roth family and torched Clive Roth's tractor.
I'm curious.
He did all of this wearing nothing but a tiny, shiny pair of red shorts, a thick coating of manure, and rubber gloves.
Don, baby, how's it going?
Probably didn't want to get his hands dirty.
Oh, bud.
Police say Dave also torched the Roth family barn and timber shed and some animal feed. Police say that when they arrested Dave, he was carrying a bag full of women's underwear and some cigarette lighters.
Next question.
Now, you've heard it all.
Yeah.
What is it?
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, listen, kids, that's it. We got to go. Our thanks today to Nancy O'Dell. Watch your show Access Hollywood. Also, thanks to the Furniture Guys, furnitureguys.com. That's it. We'll get retarded again tomorrow.
All right.
Please stay tuned for Ron and Fez coming up next on WJFK, also on Live 105 and in Tampa on 1010 The Buzz. A good day to you, sir.
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 And you.
Hi.
Hey, and yeah, listen.
Hey, Goldie. We're thinking about you.
out.
So long, everybody.
Keep one.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.
WJFK's Don and Mike Show is brought to you by our partner AOL for Broadband.